Saturday morning here on the Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures caused tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV, the puppy?
Here, Fido.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Give us a call. We'll listen.
You're listening to Radio Free St. Louis, WGNU Radio, 920 on your AM dial and at WGNU.net.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me understand. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, help me understand. To use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sit down?
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equality.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the Morning Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'm kind of cranky this morning. I just want to share that with you. I didn't even speak to Howard walking in the door this morning. I'm cranky this morning. It's cranky. And I think I am cranky. I don't know. I think I need to maybe write something about Martin Luther King celebrations. Because, you know, they're starting to get on my nerves. Folks starting to get on my nerves about using Martin Luther King celebrations to say stuff about themselves that ain't so. To imply stuff about themselves that ain't so. Or to get people to believe that they believe in stuff that ain't so. It ain't so. It ain't so. And I'm cranky. I'm cranky. I went back and I listened to. I cannot share with you the cuss words that I use to express myself when I was in the company of those that I care about. When I heard Hillary Clinton talking to a black church. And I heard Hillary Clinton say that, and this is the insult. This is the, you know what, kiss my grits. You know what, kiss my grits. Hillary Clinton talking on Martin Luther King Day event, during a Martin Luther King Day event. She said the House, talking about the House of Representatives, has been run like a plantation. And here's the part that sticks in my craw, that makes me say words that I ain't supposed to say, that infuriates me. She says, and she looks at all the black folks in the room, because she ain't speaking to a white audience. She's speaking to black folks on Martin Luther King Day celebration. She's speaking to those folks, and she says, and you know what I'm talking about. Kiss my grits. You need to go to white folks and tell white folks what they doing. You need to go to white folks. I ain't trying to hear from no warmongering pro-death penalty. Can't we just get along with the Republican? Miss Newt Gingrich standing next to Democrat. Miss middle of the road DLC member telling black folks, you know what I mean when I say plantation. Y'all know what I mean when I say plantation. Kiss my grits. Kiss my grits. And here's this other thing. It's just insulting to the core and infuriates me. Insulting to the core. She says, and to the Katrina survivors, on behalf of the government that left you behind, that has turned its back on you, I offer an apology again. Let me reiterate, if I may repeat myself, kiss my grits. Well, how many times you been to Louisiana? How many conversations have you had with the head of the Black Mayors Association? They can't get an ear anywhere. How many times have you been down there? How many times have your fellow senators, how many trips have the Democratic senators made collectively down to Louisiana? All y'all been to Iraq, haven't you? This is a disaster beyond compare on our soil. On 200,000 people moved out of their homes. How many trips have you made? How many trips have your fellow Democratic senators made? How many collective trips have y'all made? Have you had a conversation with Vanessa Williams? She's head of the Black Mayors Association. More black mayors were impacted by that hurricane than any other mayors in the United States. And they can't get trailers in their town. You could fix that with a phone call. You could fix that with a phone call. You could fix that with the press conference. You could fix that with the hearing. You could fix that. Instead, what do? You slither into a black church on a Sunday. I don't know everything, y'all. And forgive me if this is inaccurate, but I'm gonna step out on faith on this one by saying, I bet you your DLC self wasn't there the Sunday before. I'm stepping out on faith to say that I bet you Hillary Clinton wasn't at that black church the Sunday before that, the Sunday before that, the Sunday before that, and before that, and before that, and before. I'm stepping out on faith, y'all, to say, I believe that church is not her church. I'm so tired of folks. It is as if the day has been turned into an opportunity. You know what? I'm just going to go out and I know what it is. Martin Luther King Day is the great, the day to pretend. It's the day of make believe. People save up all of their woulda, coulda, didn'ts and turn them into did it on make believe day. It ain't Martin Luther King Day. It's make believe day. Let's make believe that I give a damn day. Let's make believe. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Hillary Clinton said also that the Bush administration is one of the worst in U.S. history, and that we have a culture of corruption. Four five four oh 400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get to me. My email address is revolution@lizbrown.com. You can, I'm so pleased with all of you that are taking advantage of whiterosesociety.org. So I'm going to take advantage of it some more and get on over to whiterosesociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. It's also, my show is also iPodded there as well. We're streamed on WGNU.net and LizBrown.com. Whew. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And in the next half an hour, and in the next half an hour after that, and in the next half an hour after that, I'm going to be giving away four tickets each to an event at the Two Hill Theater. Some comedians are coming to town, and we're going to be giving away some tickets, four tickets each. How cool is that? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. And again, if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. There is a everybody trying to hop on the I'm Not a Thief bandwagon. I'm coming up with legislation. I am not a crook. I am not a thief. Legislation. We had one out from Dennis Hassert, who is under investigation. Does it feel surreal to you? Dennis Hassert, who's being investigated, is coming up with legislation that is supposed to rein in or deal with a lobbying ethics. Hassert outlined a plan yesterday that would specifically ban meals and privately owned paid travel for lawmakers. And because it's Dennis Hassert, and because it's the Republican Party that is offering up this a solution to corruption, it's like asking Ted Bundy. Now, how do we come up with legislation to protect serial killers? How do we come up with legislation to punish serial killers? And you ask Ted Bundy. I don't think you're going to get very many good ideas. Or, if you do, I imagine that they are going to have a lot of loopholes in them. Just like Dennis Hassert's bill on cracking down on lobbyists. According to lobbyists and ethics experts, even if Hassert's proposal is enacted, members of Congress and their staffs could still travel the world on an interest group's expense and eat steak on a lobbyist account at the priciest restaurants in Washington. What are the odds? What are the odds that Ted Bundy would come up with a bill to punish serial killers that didn't punish serial killers? What are the odds? Dennis Hassert's plan doesn't stop lobbyists from feeding our well-fed Congress people and giving them a ride to Scotland. There's a big hole in the area that they don't address in campaign finance. Here's what Hassert's bill would do. The only requirement would be that whenever the lobbyist pays the bill, he or she must also hand the lawmaker a campaign contribution. Then the transaction would be perfectly okay. If that's not Ted Bundy saying, look, if you kill two women, and one of them was killed on a Wednesday, it's not a serial killing. Okay, are we straight? If one of the women was killed on a Monday and the other woman was killed on a Wednesday, that's not serial. It has to be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then one at 8 o'clock, one at 9 o'clock, one at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, it's not serial killing. Dennis Hassert's bill says, if a lobbyist takes you to dinner and pays for it, and he pays the bill, if he gives you an exact amount of campaign contributions, then it's not taking money from a lobbyist. That's their solution, and that's what happens when you put Ted Bundy in charge of drafting, crafting, enacting legislation to punish serial killers. They're not going to be punished. My name is Liz Brown. It's the wake-up call. You need to get to me. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. What the? Whew. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with me.
To all the refugees worldwide. One time.
Say. I remember when we used to sit in a government yard in Brooklyn. My peeps who passed away. No woman, no cry. No woman, no cry.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. We'll look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom. Westbound 270 at Halls Ferry, there's a report of an accident. Northbound 55 on the ramp. Northbound 270, there's an accident reported there as well. Westbound 64 at Ball Avenue, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 44 at Lewis and Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 40 between Clarkston and Spady, everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 from 370 all the way to Blanchett Bridge looks good. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to Big Bend is flowing freely. Eastbound 70 is busy after T.R. Hughes and slowed about 79. Westbound 5570 split all the way to the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic as it's starting to stack up there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before LaFleet's Landing. Look for everything to be on the move. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. You can expect no problems there. Gravoy at Music. There's a report of traffic lights not working. They're on red flash. That is a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy and warmer today, a high around 65. This evening, mostly cloudy with a shower possible. The low should be around 45. Friday, breezy and cooler, mostly cloudy, a high only around 50. Friday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain, low around 35. Then on Saturday, partly sunny skies and colder, the high is only expected around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 47. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on the Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures cause tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU, and get a new attitude.
Use your exercise bike for more than a clothes rack. Find out how by attending the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st, and from noon to 6, Sunday, January 22nd, at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. More than just another health fair, it's a showcase for retailers, service groups, healthcare professionals, and fitness pros, all ready to help you get in shape and improve your life. Night Magic Entertainment brings you music all weekend long. WGNU will be broadcasting from the fair on Friday. See a variety of singers, dancers, aerobic demonstrations. Enjoy a healthy snack. Stop by the center court to register for one of dozens of great prizes. Come on, you can do it. Get moving to the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. 22nd, hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights, sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional contest production.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. Ooh, you need to get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get to me. Well, let me share something with you, an opportunity for you all. You need to put this on your calendar, February 5th, from 2 in the afternoon to 5 in the afternoon, at the History Museum, right there at Lindell and DeBolivar. We are going to have a discussion, how to be an inventor with Robert McGee is going to give a lecture on being an inventor, and also he's going to be talking about these wonderful games that he has created, The Truth About the Matrix We Live In, an Uncovered World. The Truth About the Matrix. And also, again, because he's an entrepreneur, because he's an inventor, how, why you should start your own business. That's going to be February 5th from 2 to 5, and there will be a $10 discount on the games that he has invented and is going to play with you and show you about how to start your own business and how to get this, how to, if you have a game idea, this is the person you need to talk to. Put it on your calendar, February 5th from 2 to 5. And the truth about the Matrix is the game that he has invented. The truth about the Matrix. For more information, call 869-4222. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Don't forget, you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. revolution@lizbrown.com. Get to me. I just have to share this with you. I just have to share this with you because this is a big deal. I have to go local just for a second because this is a story about corruption of leadership and what happens when you put somebody in position. There is a George Bush story going on in St. Louis, Missouri. As you know, George W. Bush didn't, D student, maybe, cheerleader, alcoholic, party boy, got into Yale legacy. He didn't grade his way into Yale. He didn't have the grades to get into Yale. He got into Yale because his daddy gave so much money to Yale, and he graduated from Yale, a legacy. People talk about affirmative action. Those babies have the grades. This guy couldn't buy the grades. So we know that we have an incompetent running that, and a person with he's a failed businessman, failed student, failed in the issue of sobriety. He's failed. And he's running this country, or he's in the position to run this country. We have the same thing going on in the city of St. Louis, who's running the school board, the superintendent. When the superintendent was asked at the last school board meeting, why is it that there was only one bid for a $300,000 project? Where did you advertise for this? We did it according to the rules. Well, then where did you advertise? Okay. Well, you have another $300,000 bid to one company. This smacks of nepotism. This smacks of payoff. This smacks of payola. This smacks of corruption. Where did you bid this out? How long did you keep the bid out there? Did you comply with the minority and women bid process? He went all Bart Simpson. It's like that when I got here, man. That's what Craig $300,000 Williams responds to. The bid process. Well, here's another bid, Craig. You have four companies here, $90-something thousand bids. You all chose the highest bid. What's up with that? Oh. Where did you bid this out? Well, and then one of the members of Craig Williams' team of corruption said, no, that's a mistake. They were the lowest bidder by 5,000. Well, that's not what your forms say. I wonder if the other companies that bid for this tuck pointing know that they changed this company's bid number. I think the bidding needs to be reopened. They need to sue. The tuck pointing companies need to sue the city of St. Louis, sue the St. Louis public schools. Craig Williams' answer is, And here is the biggest. If this is not a George W. Bush move, I don't know. I can't spell George. No, I can't spell W. If this is not a George W. Bush move. The Rams were going to build a free, and then let me underscore this, free stadium for our babies. football stadium. It's going to have basketball in it. It's going to have track in it. It's going to have tennis in it. They found the land. They had a nonprofit organization that was going to run it free. It was started before Williams got here. It was going on before Williams got here. Williams went in and said, you know what, I don't like the idea of a free stadium for the children. That don't make any sense to me. That sounds stupid. Oh, and by the way, the stadium was going to be built in North St. Louis. How wonderful is that? Williams said, and this is why he's a stupid man. This is why he's an incompetent man. This is why he shouldn't have a $300,000 job to do anything. Williams said, that doesn't make any sense to me. If we're going to have a stadium, we need to have a stadium in both North and South St. Louis. Now, remind you, these are people that are building a stadium for free. Williams' solution is we're going to have a bond issue and have the citizens of St. Louis build some more stadiums. North and South. That makes and guess what the Rams did? They said, kiss my grits. Project's over. We ain't building you free nothing. It's done. $300,000 Williams killed a stadium for your babies. And now he wants you to pay for it. Now, how many citizens in the city of St. Louis, after we already built that damn Cardinal Stadium, we already paid for that one. We supposed to pay for this one bond money and then give it to the incompetent that blew the free deal to run the money? Craig Williams is George W. Bush. Is George W. Bush. Stupid, incompetent, and well over his head in his position. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, 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 much to talk about. I'm Liz Brown. Give me a call at 454-0400, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me.
Dateline, Washington. The Supreme Court stepped into the middle of a controversial case yesterday. The High Court said a lawsuit can proceed that alleges the Vatican Bank and a Catholic Franciscan religious order made a profit off of property that was stolen by a pro-Nazi World War II government in Croatia. The suit was filed by survivors of the Holocaust in a San Francisco federal court in 1999. It claims the Order of Friars Minor conspired with the Vatican Bank to take possession of gold and other valuable items that were stolen during the war. The survivors say the property was taken from people killed and tortured by the brutal Ustasha regime in Croatia from 1941 to 1945. Some 750,000 people are believed to have been killed in death camps there. The suit says the stolen property was used to help Nazi war criminals flee to South America after the war. The Vatican Bank is the financial heart of the Roman Catholic Church, and bank officials deny the charges. A federal judge dismissed the suit 3 years ago, saying those issues should be dealt with by government agencies other than the courts. An appeals court disagreed with that ruling and allowed the suit to continue. The Supreme Court yesterday decided that the appellate court decision was correct and said the lawsuit may continue. And Dateline Atlanta. Word from CNN that controversial radio host Glenn Beck has been hired by that network for a new primetime program for its headline news channel. Beck is best known for making rather ignorant statements, such as the one on Hurricane Katrina survivors when he described them as scumbags, or when asked his opinion on filmmaker Michael Moore, speculating as to whether or not he could kill him or hire someone to do it for him. CNN has also reportedly hired former Education Secretary Bill Bennett. He's the man last year who made the comment that if you aborted every black baby in this country, the crime rate would go down. This is your wake-up call global news update. Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on the wake-up call. Shoddy screening procedures cause tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
Manny Jackson Associates and Western Union proudly present the spectacular Harlem Globetrotters, the unstoppable global force. Bring your family and be a part of history as the world-famous Harlem Globetrotters celebrate their 80th consecutive season. You'll be astonished by the athleticism and non-stop entertainment only the Harlem Globetrotters can provide. And don't forget to stick around for the post-game Harlem Globetrotters autograph session. It's your chance to interact with the world's most incredible athletes. Don't be left out. Join 120 million of your closest friends and experience the world's greatest basketball event, the unstoppable Harlem Globetrotters.
Coming to Savage Center Saturday and Sunday, January 28th and 29th at 2 p.m. Tickets on sale now at the Savage Center box office, 241-1888, and at Ticketmaster.com.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Liz Brown, how you doing?
John, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? Happy belated birthday to you.
Thank you.
You know, this comment, you know, I'm in New Orleans, right?
Right.
This comment that the mayor made, I think that, you know, the black folks down here, they're making a bigger issue out of that comment than the white folks are.
Well, which comment are you referring to?
The comment when he said that about New Orleans being a chocolate city.
You know what, I think the bigger issue is the comment that he made about that somehow black people earned it.
Well, it seems to me like the big question, well, the big fuss down here with the black folks is the comment about New Orleans being a black city. But the truth of the matter is New Orleans was black before the hurricane. And it's the white folks that's in the mayor's ear that's telling him not to bring black folks back.
Well, again, my initial response to it was focusing solely on the chocolate city comment.
Right.
But the other part of the sweaty state was crazy.
Right.
I think he's kind of lost his mind a little bit, quite frankly.
Well, you know, like I was having a conversation with some New Orleans, you know, some people that was, you know, born and raised here.
Mm-hmm.
And I told them, I said, you know, it's just the fact that it is what it is. You know, if New Orleans was black, it was black. I mean, you can't change that.
Well, here's the comparison that I would use. Try this on them and see if this works with them with regard to the chocolate city comment saying that that New Orleans was a chocolate city and it should return to be a chocolate city. Use this analogy on them. You were here in St. Louis. You're familiar with the Hill. The Hill is an Italian community. And they even fly Italian flags that the city of St. Louis pays for on their poles around their community. If there was a hurricane that came and wiped out the Hill, the people that lived in the Hill would say, we need to make this an Italian community again.
Right.
There wouldn't be the same fuss. The fact of the matter, and you know what I think also the problem with this discussion is, John, that's why it is important that people of African descent refer to them with their ethnicity as opposed to their color. Because this is about an ethnicity. This is about a culture. This is about an African culture. This city was had a huge African community.
Right.
And an African culture. And what is the sin in, what is the problem with saying that the culture that was there should be returned?
And then, you know, the National Guard came in. They came into New Orleans. And you know, I was in my old reserve center down here. And I happened to stumble across in the trash now. A lady's ID identification card. She's an older lady. She's probably about 80 years old. You know, they decided to throw her personal belongings away. You know, it's like a little, wallet. You know, and they just, all her personal papers are in there. It's got social security numbers and everything, and they just threw it in the trash. So I'm in the process now trying to locate her family. You know, so I can get these items to her family, because I'm thinking that maybe she was one of the elderly people down here that perished in the aftermath during the hurricane.
Well,
I got another story for you.
Okay.
Nellie, I don't know if you caught this story in the St. Louis Post Disgrace, but Nellie is going to open up a bar and grill in Hazelwood, and one of the officials on the planning committee decided that he wanted to put a no marijuana smoking allowed sign on the outside of Nellie's establishment. And it was a story that ran on Tuesday, January the 17th.
And what did Nellie say?
He didn't make any. He's not making any comments about it.
The mayor
of Hazelwood, he wouldn't allow that, but basically...
Wait a minute, he wouldn't allow the sign to be put up?
Right. But one of the guys on the one of the planning officials had considered requiring the business to have a no marijuana smoking allowed sign.
Well, maybe it's the same. Maybe it's the same person that told Nelly to go back or send his sister back to buy the jerseys that he got kicked out of Union Station.
And then one more thing on this story here. It seems that the family that had the restaurant that Nelly is buying, they're going to own the property, but Nelly is going to own the business. So Nelly is just giving his money away. I'm quite sure he's got enough money
by the land, buy it from the land up.
Right. So these white folks is going to profit off of them again. Mm. All right, Ms. Brown.
I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. She could be your friend or your sister, but by tomorrow, Jill Carroll could be dead. Her Iraqi kidnappers are threatening to kill the American journalist by then, unless the U.S. releases all female prisoners held in Iraq. Carroll's mother, Mary Beth, on CNN today begging for her release.
To her captors, I say that Jill's welfare depends upon you. And so we call upon you to ensure that Jill is returned safely home to her family, who needs her and loves her.
The Iraqi government is suggesting that the U.S. offer to release six of the prisoners. Who has your cell phone number? The Senate says probably more people than you realize, and it wants to do something about it. Here's ABC's Vic Ratner.
Your private cell phone records are all too easily available for a price. And senators in both parties are vowing to do something about it. Republicans Ted Stevens, chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, promises Congress must ensure that Americans' phone records are protected. Democrat Charles Schumer and Republican Arlen Specter are backing legislation to make the sale of private phone records, either cell phone or landline, a crime. Vic Ratner, ABC News at the Capitol.
He still has a long recovery ahead of him, but the only survivor of the West Virginia coal mine explosion is showing some promising signs of recovery. Randall McCloy is breathing on his own. He's opened his eyes a few times. He's moved his arms and legs. Dr. Larry Roberts says McCloy's support system is a big help.
The nurturing family and friends can provide, particularly his wife, kids, and immediate family, is just of critical importance. So I think this is a great component of his care.
McCloy also seems to respond to hearing his name. Well, maybe we could have done some things differently. That's what the former head of FEMA, Michael Brown, is now saying about his agency's slow response after Hurricane Katrina.
I should have asked for the military sooner. I should have demanded the military sooner.
Brown says his agency was overwhelmed by the hurricane. This is ABC News.
We're a really close family.
Yeah, we've always taught our kids the importance of sharing with each other.
Unfortunately, last winter, they took us a little too literally, and we all ended up with the flu right before the holidays. It was terrible. The coughing, the fever, the headaches, you name it. Among us, we had it all.
Fortunately, I knew to bring my whole family to our doctor right away.
And she prescribed Tamiflu.
We made sure everyone took it as soon as we could.
Soon, we were all feeling better, in time for the holiday festivities.
Tamiflu is the number one doctor-prescribed flu medication that works by attacking the flu virus to help shorten the duration of flu symptoms by 1.3 days or 30% when taken within 2 days of symptom onset. Ask your doctor about Tamiflu and visit Tamiflu.com for more information or call 877-787-6243. See our ad in Health Magazine. For you and the people close to you, think flu, think Tamiflu. Tamiflu is indicated for the treatment of influenza in patients aged 1 year and older. Tamiflu is not a substitute for a flu shot. 1 out of 10 may experience mild to moderate nausea or vomiting. Fewer may experience bronchitis, sleeplessness, or vertigo.
We have no power, no gas, no heat, nothing. Nothing.
No woman in Hastings on Hudson, New York, among the thousands of people across the Northeast without electricity or, as she said, gas service after yesterday's storms. They brought heavy rain and wind strong enough to bring down trees, not to mention a lot of power lines. Some winds were clocked at nearly hurricane strength. Well, the teams aren't set yet, but the Super Bowl ad lineup is in place. Here's ABC's Bob Woodruff.
The Super Bowl has always been a gold mine for advertisers and the networks. This year, 90 million people are expected to watch. And ABC will pull in an estimated $2.5 million for each half-minute spot. It is perhaps the only show in the world where viewers tune in specifically for the ads.
Please don't go.
And every year there seems to be something unexpected.
It's very creative. But sir, I just think it's a bad idea to name a product the Titanic.
I'm Daria Alvinger, ABC News.
It's time for another WGNU News Update. I'm Peyton Colston reporting. This report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. Taking a look at the news this hour, one suspect is still on the loose after a police standoff in Wellston. After a detective saw an alleged drug transaction on a corner known for drug trafficking late yesterday morning, police arrested three suspects on the spot. Wellston Police Captain Steve Abingdon says a fourth suspect was believed to have barricaded himself in a vacant home in the 6500 block of Martin Luther King.
They started out by giving commands for him to come out after so long. They actually end up entering the residence, did a sweep of the residence, and found out that he was not in there.
Investigators believe the suspect was in the house and managed to escape. Abingdon says they know the identity of the suspect, and his brother is one of the three men in custody. Weapon and drug charges are pending against the other suspects, who range in age from 17 to 25. Elsewhere, new legislation seeks to limit when groups can protest outside funerals in Missouri. State Senator Charlie Shields, who proposed the funeral decency bill, says this is not about limiting freedom of speech. If approved, Senate Bill 579 would limit picketing and protesting from 1 hour before through 1 hour after a funeral service. Shields says he felt the need to file the bill after members of the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, protested outside the funeral of a St. Joseph soldier killed in Iraq. The group claims the Iraq War is God's revenge against America for allowing homosexuality. The Missouri Department of Transportation is reacting to news that State Senator Joan Bray has filed a bill that would prohibit MoDOT from closing Highway 40 during the 12-mile reconstruction project. Linda Wilson, a spokesperson for MoDOT, says no decision has been made about whether the highway needs to be closed, but all possible options need to be kept open. State Senator Bray says MoDOT needs to tell bidders they can't close the highway because closing it would jeopardize economic activity. And finally, Governor Matt Blunt wants the Federal Energy Regulation Commission to account for its oversight at the Tomsoc Reservoir in Reynolds County. Blunt says FERC commissioners visited the Ameren UE Reservoir last August and reported no problems. Media reports indicate there was evidence of a problem at the reservoir well before its failure in December. Blunt says he's disturbed by the, quote, shocking lack of oversight on part of both Ameren UE and FERC, unquote. And that's WGNU News for this hour, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's ticket for the cure. 100% of the proceeds support the fight against breast cancer. Play Ticket for the Cure today, because when you play, everybody wins. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by heatupstlouis.org. Northbound 55 between Butler Hill and 270 is an accident on right shoulder. Traffic is slow in the right lanes on either side of Butler Hill, moving better than through the ramp to northbound 270 from an earlier accident. Eastbound 70 at Kings Highway, a disabled vehicle is reported in traffic lane. Eastbound 44 at Bowles and 270, look for normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, traffic is building. Eastbound 70 from Zumbel all the way to St. Charles Rock Road, look for everything to be on the move there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Eastbound 70 at 79, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, heavy volume going on. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for heavy volume going on there. Northbound Illinois Route 3 onto the ramp to the Poplar Street Bridge, it is a slow go this hour. Westbound 64 at the 5570 split, look for slow traffic as well. Gravoy at Music Road, there's a report of the traffic lights not working. They're on red flash. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by heatupstlouis.org. Baby, it's cold inside. Help the elderly and disabled beat the winter cold snap with a donation to Heat Up heatupstlouis.org. Please donate today at heatupstlouis.org. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. For today, breezy and warmer, variable cloudiness, a high around 65. This evening, mostly cloudy with a shower possible, low around 45. For Friday, breezy and cooler, mostly cloudy, then the possibility of rain on Friday, the high around 50. Friday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance of rain with a low around 35. And then on Saturday, partly sunny skies and colder with a high only around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 45 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 47, both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen? Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
Say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can I listen?
Is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. My email is revolution@lizbrown.com. The website is lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Any kind of, every kind of, all kinds of ways get to me this morning. Well, we talk quite frequently on this show about the challenges that are coming down the pike to all of us. It seems like every day, in every way, there is something that is happening. that is a call to action. And if anything, I guess there's a lesson in this that you can't, what's the phrase that the old folks used to say to us? Can't sit on your laurels. If anything is worth having, it's worth protecting. And that take nothing for granted. Somebody's always going to try to come after your stuff, your good stuff. Well, this is one of those stories. That is a call to action and a reminder that we have to be ever vigilant. We can't sit still. Nothing is forever. You have to protect your stuff. There is a new plan coming out of the FCC. And we've seen how the Medicare prescription drug coverage plan is working out. Hundreds of thousands of people calling Medicaid, states having to change policies, making pharmacies pay for the medicine for our seniors when they go in, and the programs tell them that they now have to pay $300 for their medicine. It's not working out too well. Here's another plan that I guarantee you that's not going to work out real well, and I don't see states coming to the rescue for our seniors. There is a new plan. Like I said, backed by the FCC, and you need to hear about this, Universal Service Fund reform. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining us from Washington, D.C., Maureen Thompson. She is the executive director of Keep Universal Service Fund Fair Coalition. Maureen, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. What is this plan?
Well, let me just, I'll back up and just talk just for a second about what Universal Service, what the Universal Service Fund is. It was put in place by Congress a number of years ago so that telephone service could be brought to rural areas in America. And, it, you know, nobody disputes that there's a value behind the Universal Service Fund. It's since been updated in terms of what it provides in terms of internet access to schools and things like that. The question really is, and very few people realize this, the telephone companies are assessed fees for Universal Service Fund based on long-distance usage. They then turn around and pass those fees on to the consumer. And most people don't, you know, may not even know that they're paying for it.
Well, it's really hard to decipher all of the things we're paying for.
Right. It's a line item on your phone bill. If you look at it, you'll see. And it's really based on how much long distance you use. So the people who are paying the most into the system right now are heavy volume users, are businesses that do a lot of long distance phoning, and other, you know, residential and consumers who use a lot of long distance. But people right now can, you know, and a lot of people do who are on fixed incomes, who have limited amounts of money. They control how much long distance they use because they may not be able to afford it. Right? So right now, you pay into this Universal Service Fund based on how much long distance phone calls, how many, you know, what your volume is of long distance phone calls. What the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission is proposing now is instead of doing that we have one flat fee that everybody pays based on how many phone numbers you have coming into your home or your business. So that may sound easy, fair. They're talking about $1, $2, $3 a month. Nobody knows what the exact amount is per phone number. But for some people, like a big business, that means that you're going to save a lot of money because you're no longer paying it on the volume of your long distance. For others, including the 43 million households that use little or no long distance, that's going to be an increase, really a tax increase on you. There are about 16 million consumer households right now, or 16 million households that don't use no long distance at all.
And does this include households that have gone around using the long using their phones for making long distance calls by using phone cards?
Well, it is going to it is going to end up affecting those people because they are going to have to use, right now, if you use a prepaid wireless or something like that, the concern is what the impact on those services that are generally available for lower-income folks or who limit their phone usage, because they're going to have to pay on each phone number, and it's going to make it almost impossible for those business models to stay in place right now. So it gets a little complicated, but the bottom line is it's going to be more expensive for the people who can least afford it. And, you know, we think that that's a bad way to go. We don't think that the folks who are on limited incomes or on fixed incomes should be forced to pay more into the system as opposed to a much more fair system where you pay based on your usage.
How long has this plan been in place?
Well, it's just a proposal right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's a proposal that the Federal Communication Commission, people probably don't even know who that is. It's an agency in Washington that is in charge of overseeing telecommunications issues here. Unlike most, and really I'd consider this a tax increase. This is a charge on your telephone bill. Most tax increases go through Congress. It gets debated. You have elected officials that you contact and you can say yes or no, and they can gauge where their constituents stand on it. Here we have unelected federal bureaucrats sitting in an agency in Washington deciding that you're going to pay more in telephone taxes. It hasn't gone into effect yet. It hasn't been adopted yet by these folks that sit in this agency in Washington. Our hope is that if the agency in Washington hears from enough people out there telling them that this is not a good idea, and if people also let their elected representatives in Washington know that they don't want these folks at this unknown agency in Washington raising their taxes, that they may think twice and they may look at different ways of going about this in ways that are not, you know, that are more fair to the people who can least afford to pay this. Look, we're all being, as you know, we're all being hit by higher gasoline prices, which are expected to rise again, home heating bills, where people are coming in and they're getting very little relief. The last thing they need is another increase in fees for what is really necessary service. Phone service that you can have for emergencies and other, you know, very limited purposes, but it's an absolute necessity.
And so, with regard to this $1 to $2 possibility of a fee increase, is it possible that that number could be double that?
Absolutely,
triple that?
There's no limit on what that number can be. And here in Washington, people look at it and they say, oh, $1 or $2 a month, what's that, you know? And we had a consumer, a woman from a senior from West Virginia, say, look, I'm on a fixed income, and not only every dollar counts, every penny counts. She said, we really watch our pennies. We have a budget with no room in it, and if we're going to have to pay $2 more a month, I mean, that's actually something that we have to consider. You know, people inside the Beltway here in Washington may not think that's a big deal. For some people, it is a big deal. And
particularly if they're not using long distance,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem particularly fair that you would have to pay for something that you are not pay directly out of your pocket. It's not like they're taxing you on the other end where you don't necessarily feel it as directly. This is something that you've got to pay every month.
Absolutely. And that's right. So there are two issues here, I think. One is absolutely the fairness issue. And there's also, you know, the system that we have right now, we think, is a sensible pay for what you use. Now what they're talking about is everybody pays the same amount. And what we'd like to know and what we haven't seen any information on is who are the winners under this system. It's got to be based on the research we've done. It's got to be the people who use a lot of long distance. It's got to be the big companies that are using it. And why should you, a consumer who's using very little long distance, if any, pay the same amount that someone who's using a lot of the services, why should you pay the same amount that they're paying?
It turned out when we were told that that there was going to be a certain cost for this Medicaid, Medicare, mm-hmm. Prescription drug program, that the cost was going to be one thing. Turns out that the cost was way beyond what the projection was. Again, you've said that it could be more than $1 to $2, but could there be other fees that occur as a result of this change?
There could be. We just don't know, and the information is not being made available. So we're asking folks to let the officials at the Federal Communications Commission know that they want more information on this, that they don't want action taken before people fully understand who's going to win and who's going to lose.
And one of the things here, I know in Missouri, and I know it happens all across the country, even in the federal government, there are fiscal notes attached to bills. How much is it going? What's the real cost of what this particular bill is going to do? Is there something like that attached to the changes?
There isn't, because right now it's not a bill in Congress. This is simply a federal agency deciding that they're going to make this change.
Oh, I mean, I get that it's not a bill,
oh, right.
but what I'm asking.
No, that's exactly the kind of information we're asking for. We're asking not only is there, an overall fiscal note, but we want to know what do you believe, who do you believe is going to be impacted by this?
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to pay more and who's going to pay less and by how much?
And is the FCC required to provide a fiscal note like that?
I don't believe they are, but I actually don't know the answer to that. I don't believe they are. So a lot of this is taking place, outside the public discussion, outside. And so we're trying to make people aware of it. We have a website,
mm-hmm.
www.keepusffair.org. So that's www.keepusffair.org that you can go to learn more information about this and to use the website to send a letter to the Federal Communication Commission and to your members of Congress, letting them know that this is an issue that you're concerned about.
I understand that this was that this plan has been backed by the chairman of the FCC,
mm-hmm.
Kevin Martin.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know anybody else that's behind this?
I actually don't know who else is behind it.
Who brought it to him? I mean, who?
I don't know the answer to that, and I think those are questions that may be asked of the chairman. What they're looking at and what he has said is his reason for doing this is that he wants to make sure that the funding for the revenue to keep the Universal Service Fund going, that it's stable, that as people, move away from traditional phone service and start using more wireless for long distance and other things, that there may be that the funding sources, the funding streams for the Universal Service may become less stable, may drop down. That has actually not been borne out by what has happened, and we think that there are other ways to get at this issue if there does become some instability in the funding streams.
Well, and how reasonable of a conclusion is that if most of the people that are using long distances are businesses, 99% of the businesses have landlines.
Right. I mean, there's been, right now what they do is they have a set, they have an amount that they're spending on the Universal Service Fund, and they look at that and they assess what the fee is on the long distance. And it's remained pretty much steady at about 11%, somewhere between 10 and 12%. And it really has not changed very much over the last several years. And you're right. There are, you know, it is businesses, and I know that there's the voice over internet, you know, which is a new telephone service coming on board that they're concerned about. But we think there are other ways to get at these issues. And we've put forward our own plan that says basically you don't do anything unless you see that there's a shortage in funds available, a shortage in revenue available. So we just think, you know, like a lot of things, this is happening without a lot of public input. Certainly, like many other issues we see here in Washington, the affected industry players get in and have their voices heard. And we're trying to get the word out so consumers know what's going on and they can make their voices heard and make them count for something.
And let me get to one quick call here. You have a question for our guest, Maureen Thompson.
Yeah. The thing that I wanted to say to your guest, you asked your guest about who's, you know, putting these different ideas forward. It's the companies that are being overlooked, or the oversight of the Federal Communication Commission. For the most part, the people, like, for instance, this new director they have, Martin, he didn't come out of any communications or anything. And prior to him, it was Powell. They're nothing but political people. I wrote to the Federal Communications Commission about the lousy things that Southwestern Bell was doing that was in violation of their tariff. And after 13 years, I received a letter from Miss Lee, and she apologized. Now, I got letters probably six different people, but they said it wasn't anything they could do for me. They were sorry, but they had a new system in place now, and people in the future that had problems where Southwestern Bell violated their tariff, that they would get better service.
Okay, thank you. Now, Maureen, in terms of the politicalness of this, this factors into it, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Your caller is exactly right. Neither Mr. Martin nor Mr. Powell had come out of the telecommunications industries that, you know, so, and, but to the extent that it's an issue that they don't hear from consumers on, that there doesn't appear to be any downside, political or otherwise, to doing what they're doing, they won't have any incentive to, I don't think, to look at this from the perspective of the people who are going to be harmed.
And the FCC has been one area where it has mattered, where people have emailed in and
right.
inundated them, and they've changed rules as a result of that.
That's right. So we're hoping that folks will sit up and listen to this and make their voices heard on this one.
And what is the your website again?
Our website is www.keepusffair.org, and that's www.keepusffair.org.
And for people that do not have access to the internet, what's the word they should use when they get in contact with their elected official?
They should talk about the Universal Service Fund and that they don't want this flat tax change that Chairman Martin is proposing.
Maureen Thompson, Executive Director of Keep Universal Service Fund Fair Coalition. Thank you so much for joining us on the
Thanks
Wake Up Call.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Wake Up Call, Liz Brown. I will be back. Stay with me.
But she doesn't hear a word that he said. Whatever happens, don't
morning, St. Louis, 34 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Northbound 270 between Marshall and Big Bend, an accident in the left center lane is blocked. Traffic is backed up most of the way from south of Highway 21. Eastbound 44 over the Meraz overpass all the way to Merrimack River Bridge. Slow traffic in the right lane. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh. Look for a heavy volume going on there. Eastbound 70 from Mid Rivers Mall to the Blanchett Bridge. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 at 79. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way to Newhall's Ferry. Stop and go. Cruiser removing a vehicle involved in an earlier spin out on the shoulder. Northbound 55 between 270 and Holly Hills. No problems reported. Eastbound 40 slows before 141 all the way to Mason Road. Eastbound 70 at McKelvey and St. Charles Rock Road. Very heavy volume there. Westbound 5570 from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for slow traffic. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 5570 split all the way to Cleeds Landing. Look for heavy volume there. Northbound Route 3 from 8th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect slow traffic. Westbound 64 to 5570 split, look for a slow volume there as well. And grab away at Music, look for those lights not to be working, they are on red flash. Also, northbound Route 94 at 70, look for road construction. Right lane will be closed as crews are finishing the new six-lane overpass project. All work is expected to be completed by this afternoon. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Play daily, play nightly, play when you need a smile, play for the rush. No matter how you play, play the Illinois Lottery. Have fun, have a ball, play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy and warmer today, variable clouds with a high around 60. This evening, mostly cloudy with a shower possible, low around 45. Friday, breezy and cooler, mostly cloudy, then a possibility of rain, the high around 50. For Friday evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for rain with a low around 35. Then on Saturday, partly sunny skies and colder with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 47 as well under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on the Wake-Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures cause tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Because you want to know what you're going to get in me. Just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I have some tickets to give away. David Alan Greer is going to be performing at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center. We have four tickets to give away. You need to call and be the 10th caller at 454-6660. You will leave your name and number, and you will go down to the will call window and pick up your four tickets. This is Friday, January 20th, and the number that you call here is 454-6660. You'll be the 10th caller and leave your name and number, and we will give you the directions on how to pick up your tickets. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes. Good. Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Clark.
Liz, I want your legal opinion concerning the ruling in Oregon on assisted suicide, its impact concerning the insurance industry. They do not honor if someone commits suicide.
But you're talking about, okay, we have our winners. We have our winners. Get off my phones. We have the winners. I'll be giving away three more of these, actually. So stay tuned. We have our winners. Clark, when you're referring to the suicide, are you talking about, are insurance companies talking about physician-assisted suicide or another type of suicide?
Oh, so there are two types.
I'm saying that there are. I don't know if an insurance company distinguishes between the two of them.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Because one would think that physician-assisted suicide is a different thing than someone who's 25 years old that kills themselves.
Oh, okay. Himself. Now, that aspect was never mentioned. And if you can find out, you know, let us know.
Okay. All right. I certainly will, Clark. Thank you so much.
All right.
I will call each of our winners and let them know how they pick the tickets up, but they will not pick them up here. They will pick them up at the theater at Blanche Two Hill at the Will Call window. And we'll be doing another one of these in a few minutes, probably in a few minutes or in the next hour. I haven't decided yet. Just stay tuned. Stay tuned because that's, you know, I want to make it easy for you. I want to make it easy for you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. It's going to be interesting. There is a movie that's fixing to be played at Sundance. It's a South African film. This is the Sundance Film Festival in Utah. And it's a film entitled The Son of Man. It's a movie that portrays Jesus Christ as an African. And what they're saying is that this is the first modern movie. It's billed as the world's first black Jesus movie. And they portray him as a modern African revolutionary. And it transports the life and death of Christ from the first century Palestine to a contemporary African state. They modernize the story. They show his mother as a virgin, though feisty enough to argue with the angels. Feisty enough to argue with and the angels. By portraying Jesus as a black African, the director hopes to sharpen the political context of the gospel when Israel was under Roman occupation and to challenge Western perceptions as Christ as a meek, mild, and European. I'm just amazed. 2005 is the first time. There was a film called Black Jesus that was made in 1968 starring a Woody Strode, but it is described as political commentary rather than the interpretation of the life of Christ. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. We're taking a break. Stay with me. I'll be back.
My life go by, and at times I wonder why I even try. Well, I try because I like to finish what I start, and I have faith it can get better tomorrow. Like I'm invisible.
The Wake Up Call Global News Update is brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Port-au-Prince. Violence continues to plague the island nation of Haiti. This week, two Jordanian peacekeepers with the UN were shot to death in the capital city, and a third was wounded. That happened at a checkpoint in a troubled district. The peacekeeping force has been in Haiti ever since President Aristide left office by force in 2004. The part of the city where the shootings took place is a slum area that's racked by violence committed by gangs loyal to Aristide. Elections are to be held next month to try and install a permanent government, which will replace the transitional one that's in place now. So far, 9 peacekeepers have been killed in Haiti since they were sent there, but as of the 1st of January, nearly 2 million eligible voters have still not received their required ID cards that they have to have in order to cast a ballot. The Haitian Constitution called for new elections within 90 days of a power change, but it's now been 2 full years since President Aristide was forced into exile. And Dateline Nashville. The Tennessee Senate is working on nullifying a special election involving a black state senator. Ophelia Ford won a Democratic seat that was occupied by her brother John, who was arrested last year on corruption charges. She beat Republican challenger Terry Rowland by less than 50 votes. Rowland's officials say they have found over 100 problematic votes that were cast for Ford. A special committee of the state Senate this week voted for a resolution that would void out the results of that race. Ophelia Ford says the Republicans are making it all about race and Jim Crowism. She says she wants the federal courts to sort it out, not the opposing political party. The whole Tennessee General Assembly has been tainted by an FBI sting operation that led to bribery charges for five lawmakers past and present last year. Should her election be voided, it'll be up to commissioners in Shelby County to appoint an interim senator until a new election can be scheduled. This is your wake-up call global news update, brought to you this hour by
Seven Signs Masonry. Whatever your masonry needs, they do all brickwork. These are the best hands in the business. Seven Signs Masonry, 618-338-2871. That's 618-338-2871. Seven Signs Masonry.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on The Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures caused tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
Hi, it's Kevin.
And Sue McCarthy.
Of the Travel Planner Show.
Before you head out for a trip, you want to know how to pack, so check weather at yahoo.com, and then you'll know what to wear when you get there.
Oh, she's so good. The Travel Planner Show, every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4 here on AM 920 WGNU.
Use your exercise bike for more than a clothes rack. Find out how by attending the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st, and from noon to 6, Sunday, January 22nd, at St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. More than just another health fair, it's a showcase for retailers, service groups, healthcare professionals, and fitness pros, all ready to help you get in shape and improve your life. Night Magic Entertainment brings you music all weekend long. WGNU will be broadcasting from the fair on Friday. See a variety of singers, dancers, aerobic demonstrations. Enjoy a healthy snack. Stop by the center court to register for one of dozens of great prizes. Come on, you can do it. Get moving to the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a specialized promotional contest production.
Spectacular skating, laughter, and unforgettable moments. Hi, it's Scott Hamilton, the producer of Smucker's Stars on Ice. This year's show celebrates our 20th anniversary, and we are so excited. It's a show about the show. You'll get a behind-the-scenes look from the past 20 years and see how it all happens, from auditions and rehearsals to opening night and everything in between. From our most shining accomplishments to some of the less-than-perfect moments, see skating's best Olympic and world champions in this one-night-only performance of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
With special guest Kurt Browning coming to Savas Center Friday, February 3rd, 7:30 p.m. Your tickets are on sale now at the box office, all Ticketmaster outlets, and at Ticketmaster.com. Kids and senior discounts available. Smucker's Stars on Ice, an IMG production.
It's going to be a great celebration, the 20th anniversary tour of Smucker's Stars on Ice.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Still gonna make home. I don't care what they say to you. No. Still gonna think. Fighting on. Yeah, yeah.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. British writer Christopher Hitchens. Who is he? Why, he is one of the most reliable allies to the United States administration. That would be George W. Bush. He has been a reliable ally on our conduct on the war in terror, on terror. He's one of Bush's road dogs. I want to translate that, make that make a little easier for you to understand. He's one of George Bush's road dogs and defenders. Huh. What? He's joined a lawsuit seeking a ban on the domestic spy program authorized by George W. Bush. What? Huh? Two lawsuits were filed yesterday. One by the ACLU in Detroit and the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York City. And they represent the first legal challenge to the surveillance program. In the ACLU suit, Hitchens, former road dog of George W. Bush, joins other writers, Greenpeace, Council on American Islamic Relations. They're seeking an immediate end to the wiretaps, saying that they violate the constitutional rights to privacy and free speech. The suit is brought by Hitchens, Tara McKelvey, a senior editor at American Prospect magazine, James Bamford, author of two books on the NSA, Barnett Rubin, an academic at New York University. Not a good day for the Bush administration. There has been a survey that has been taken. Survey says, should George W. Bush be impeached if he spied on American citizens? Survey says, the majority of people said yes, he should be impeached. The I word, Zogby poll, I word, Zogby poll. Survey says yes. Survey says yes. You think? He spied. I used to say, he lied, we died, impeach him. Now it's, he lied, he spies, we die, impeach him. I have to change my mind. The stuff is happening so fast. I used to say, he lied, we died, impeach him. Now it's, he lied, he spies, we die, impeach him. Impeach him. Car phone.
Hey, good morning, Miss Brown.
Good
Always
morning.
A pleasure listening to your show.
Thank you.
Listen, I was wondering if you could, if you knew a good discrimination attorney that just specializes in those types of suits.
That's off air. That's an off air conversation. I'll put you on hold. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Mildred, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Liz, how are you?
I'm outstanding. How are you?
I'm fine. I don't want you to miss this one. No. If you have it on the internet, Nation Magazine, January 30th, look at the cover, and please don't fail to read the article. I tore it out, and I sent it to Congress.
And the article is?
The impeachment.
The I word.
That's it.
All right now.
Don't
I will get
it.
I will get it.
Bye.
I will get it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll free long distance number is 1-877-920-WDNU. JD?
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
Oh, D, good morning.
If they impeach Bush, or when they impeach Bush, will it break America for all the war crimes that he would have committed?
Will it what?
Would it break us? Pardon?
I don't know. I don't understand what you mean. Would it break us?
I mean, if he's impeached for what, you know, the lies that he told, then we're in an illegal war, and it will be acknowledged by America that we're in it.
So would, are you talking about would the United States then be sued and have to pay damages for the acts that he has gotten us into? Good question. Good question. That's what happens.
Thanks.
That's why your mama tells you that you're not supposed to sleep with dogs because you wake up with fleas.
Fleas.
Okay?
Okay, thanks.
All right. My name is Liz Brown. We will be back with a discussion. Reggie Clemens, the death penalty. This is our continuing campaign. Jamala Rogers is going to be joining me, and we're going to be talking to the head of the NAACP from Washington, D.C., because we couldn't get our NAACP to do jack. My name is Liz Brown. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. By this time tomorrow, American journalist Jill Carroll could be dead. That's the deadline her Iraqi captors have set, unless the U.S. releases all female prisoners it's now holding in Iraq. Carroll's mother, Mary Beth, made an appeal to the kidnappers today on CNN.
Jill's father, sister, and I ask and encourage the persons holding our daughter to work with Jill to find a way to contact us with the honorable intent of discussing her release.
Carroll was on CNN today, and Jill Carroll was on assignment for the Christian Science Monitor. More violence today in Iraq. Simultaneous suicide bombings today killed at least 22 Iraqis on a central Baghdad street. In Tel Aviv, at least 20 people have been wounded after a suicide bombing in that Israeli city. Few other details are available at this time. A Senate committee today calls experts to Capitol Hill to tell them what to do about obscenity on TV and online. More from ABC News national correspondent Jim Hickey.
She told me that I should go out and have an affair of my own.
Affairs, adultery, sexual encounters, nudity on TV. These all have the attention of the Senate Commerce Committee, getting an update on what the television industry is doing to make shows decent. Top TV and cable execs are to testify. The same committee is also getting into porn on the Internet, looking for ways to protect your kids from online pornography. Jim Hickey, ABC News.
President Bush heading to Virginia today to talk up the economy. ABC's Ann Compton.
Amid the forklifts and packing boxes of a suburban storage company, President Bush intends to tout the strength of the economy and the way small businesses are creating jobs. All this is part of the run-up to the massive State of the Union address 12 days from now.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. This is ABC News.
This year, the government's going to give out over $350 billion to people like you who want to start a business, go back to school, or train for a new job. I'm Matthew Lesko, and I've written over 70 books on government programs. You've probably seen me all over the television shows, on talk shows. My new program shows you 15,000 government sources, where you can get like $100,000 to open up a coffee shop, $15,000 to write a book, or $30,000 to become a French chef, $9,000 to take a computer course, or $15,000 to finish college, get a GED, or a PhD. There's money to travel overseas, train your employees, or work on your invention. I've done all the work. You just have to make the call. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO, and you'll get my book and six-hour audio tape program for only two payments of $29.95 plus $7.50 postage and handling. There's a 90-day money-back guarantee. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO or 1-877-275-5375.
This guy messed with the wrong mother. A two-hour car chase in Houston ended with more than just a head-on collision on a highway entrance ramp. It ended with a woman who was riding in the car that was struck, jumping out of the car, climbing over the hood, and then screaming at the man who had been involved in the chase.
I got out of the car, and my first initial thought was, okay, let me get across this car, you know, to get over there to her. And when I got across the car, I remember I hit his car, and I told him, you know, you fool, you could have, you know, you could have killed my baby.
That's Diana Claiborne. She's okay. So is her baby. The driver of the other car is now under arrest. A big cleanup is now underway across the Northeast.
Connecticut remains the hardest hit part of the region thanks to this week's
Bush's 1-2 punch from the weather. It could be days before power is restored to some communities like Greenwich. Governor Rail has put the state's National Guard on standby in case towns and cities need extra help cleaning up debris.
ABC's Lisa Colagrossi in Connecticut. Those storms, by the way, were felt all the way from Philadelphia to Maine. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
With another WGNU News report, I'm Peyton Colston. This update is brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. In the news this morning in Illinois, critics and opponents of Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich are blasting yesterday's State of the State address. During his speech, Blagojevich pushed for a road construction and jobs plan, a tax break for college students, a tax credit for efficient cars, and health insurance for all military veterans. Critics say he did not outline how he wants to pay for his proposals. Candidates on both sides of the upcoming governor's race say the speech was more of a re-election campaign kickoff than a look at the actual state of Illinois. In Missouri, state legislatures may soon vote on whether to extend surcharges to defendants for the DNA Profiling Analysis Fund. St. Louis County Prosecutor Bob McCulloch says even though the amounts charged are low, they're important to continuing the DNA database. If approved, Senate Bill 587 would remove the August 2006 expiration date on the surcharges that criminal defendants must pay if they're convicted or plead guilty. Those fees are $30 for felony defendants and $15 for misdemeanor defendants. The former advisor to President Bill Clinton doesn't want to see Federal Appeals Court Judge Samuel Alito confirmed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Georgetown University law professor Cheryl Cation says President Bush is entitled to nominate whoever he wants, but the Democrats should use whatever tools they have to oppose him. Cation opposes Alito primarily because of what she calls his apparent history of opposition to civil rights. And new legislation seeks to limit when groups can protest outside funerals in Missouri. State Senator Charlie Shields, who proposed the funeral decency bill, says this is not about limiting freedom of speech.
We believe the bill meets the constitutional guidelines because, as opposed to just limiting the ability to protest a funeral, we limit it to a very specific date and time. By most standards, I think people will agree that that allows the activity, but certainly not during that particular time.
If approved, Senate Bill 578 would limit picketing and protesting from 1 hour before through 1 hour after a funeral service. Shields says he felt the need to file the bill after members of the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, protested outside the funeral of a St. Joseph soldier who was killed in Iraq. The group claims the Iraq War is God's revenge against America for allowing homosexuality. And that WGNU News update was brought to you by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, winterize your car at your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer. Radiator drain and fill, visual inspection and battery check, all for $39.95. That's Toyota value. See dealer for details. I'm Peyton Colston with WGNU News.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 to the GNU. I'm Howard Morton with this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AutoZone. Westbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and K, a multi-vehicle accident. Only left lane is getting by and traffic jams at 79. Eastbound 270 at Illinois Route 3. Look for an accident there. Left lane is blocked as traffic jammed across the canal bridge. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic there. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Hanley. Slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 from Cave Springs all the way into 270 looks good. Eastbound 70 from Bryan to K. Look for stop and go traffic due to a westbound accident. Slow traffic in pockets then from there to Mid Rivers Mall. Westbound 270 from 367 all the way to West Florissant. Expect slow traffic this hour. Northbound 55 between Union and Arsenal. Look for slow traffic as well. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for stop and go traffic there. Eastbound 70 from McKelvey all the way in St. Charles Rock Road. Very heavy volume. Northbound 270 between Tesson Ferry and Marshall. It is stop and go. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 64. Look for slow traffic all the way to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at 5570 split all the way into Laclede's Landing. Look for heavy volume going on there as well. and westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for slow traffic. Gravoy at Music. There's a report of the lights not working there. They're on red flash. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AutoZone. Is your car's check engine light on? With AutoZone's free loan-a-tool service, you can find the source of the problem with their engine code scanning tool. Find out more at AutoZone. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy and warmer variable clouds, high around 65. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance for a shower with a low around 45. For Friday, breezy and cooler, mostly cloudy with a high around 50. For Friday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance for rain, a low around 35. And Saturday, partly sunny and colder with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees under clear skies. Lambert Field is reporting 47 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's the long distance number. Please don't forget, one of the really, really wonderful things about the Wake Up Call is that it is archived daily. So if you've missed an hour, that's all right. I ain't mad at you. Go to
WhiteRoseSociety.org. The shows are archived, so go listen to. You can just listen to as much Wake Up Call as you want to. Also, check out the website at LizBrown.com. I have my Liz picks up for 2005. You can check out the Corner Stove. You can do a whole lot of stuff. So get to LizBrown.com. That's the business component of this. That's the bookkeeping component of the show for this morning. Because it is Thursday and because it is 8 o'clock on Thursday, it is time to talk about our campaign, the campaign for Reginald Clemens. And I have joining me in the studio, as I do every Thursday morning at 8, Jamala Rogers. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
Good, good.
Jamala, bring us start at the beginning where we always do to bring folks up to speed on why this campaign is in place for Reginald Clemens.
For those people who may not know, and we think we have the campaign almost operating all cylinders right now, but the case of Reggie campaign is directly out of the Chain of Rocks murder cases. And that is where four young men visited the bridge over there at the Chain of Rocks and came out of that situation with two murder convictions and two rape convictions that were eventually dropped because there was no evidence of it. And we already have one brother, Marlon Gray, who's been executed. He was executed back in October. And we now have Reginald Clemens, who can get an execution date at any given time now. What we have with this case, and we've talked about this every Thursday, we have the perfect storm, as you say, Liz, of all the worst case scenarios that can happen in a capital murder case. We have prosecutorial misconduct. We have beaten, forced confessions to the crime. We have inadequate defense counsel. So all of these things add up to reasonable doubt and, for some people, a claim of innocence. And so what we hope to do with this case is not just free Reggie Clemens, or at least get his case to a point where people can really examine all the facts of the Chain of Rocks case, because we still have two young women who lost their lives, and their families need to know who the real murderers were or whatever the situation was.
What happened?
Yeah, what happened? I think, you know, if I was a mother, I would want to know what happened with my daughters. And so I think we still, justice has eluded both, all of the families, and as in cases like this, we cannot rely totally on the criminal justice system because they have failed. And so it's really up to the community to press the issue, to press for the facts. And so that's what this campaign is all about.
And why the urgency on this at this particular point? What's getting ready to happen?
The urgency is that because the United States Supreme Court has denied any more appeals and any more kind of legal actions, then Jay Nixon has already sent over to the Missouri Supreme Court a warrant for execution, which means that the Missouri Supreme Court can give a date for Reggie any day now. So we are really up against an hourglass that has been turned upside down, and so we've been feverishly working on lots of different fronts. The priority has been the clemency campaign petition, which we've been getting people to sign. We had a few we had a detail during the Martin Luther King events, and people were out in full force getting.
We had Reggie Sunday.
So, you know, the word is getting out there, and I think that, you know, people are they're in tune to what happened, and again, even if people don't think they know enough about the case to know was guilty or innocent, all you need to do is demand a fair look at the facts. And so that's all we can ask of anybody. But the other piece of it is, and I heard this from a number of folks on down at the King March, is that some of the network news that morning had talked about Reggie having raped the Carey sisters and pushed them off the bridge. They were very upset about that because we know the facts don't support that.
They weren't even tried on the rape.
And so, you know, I mean, obviously we need to have some kind of meeting with them, but the fact that people are still repeating misinformation from even 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago about the case really starts to make one wonder if folks really want to know the truth, even on the media front. And so we, as opposed to people getting mad and telling me, we want you to call those news networks and say, that's not our understanding. If you need more information, here's a number to call. Because people who came to the kickoff heard from the attorneys themselves about the case, and they are the ones who've been working on this thing from the very beginning, at least for the last decade in terms of the appeal process. So when news media outlets are repeating misinformation,
television,
mm-hmm. then people should call them. They should call them out. And
I guess one of the things that people can do also is go to the website, go to justiceforreggie.com,
right.
And get the information to inform themselves, and then call the media, because that's what our job is. Everybody has a job, and everybody has the ability to work their job. And if you hear something wrong on the media, your job is to call and to get other people to call,
exactly.
And to get them to change.
Exactly.
Them.
And not just the media, but anybody else that you hear
that's
giving
right.
misinformation,
that's
because
right.
It's the misinformation that ultimately we're having to deconstruct, because it's been out there for a while. But also, we want an environment where there is a justice-seeking environment, where folks can see themselves in the shoes of Reggie, or in the shoes of Reggie's family, in the shoes of the Carey family. See, if you sort of begin to empathize with what's going on, you will be drawn into the case, because it could happen to anybody. And if it happens to you, you want a justice-seeking atmosphere, so that, you know, whatever prevails.
And for all of you that celebrated the birth of Martin Luther King and listened to the speeches and said that you want to live your life in the way that he lived his life, you cannot be still in a society that is comfortable with mischaracterizing the facts. You can't be still in a society that pulls upon racism to get a conviction, prosecutors that hop onto the backs of black men in order to propel themselves into higher offices. You can't be still in a society that says you can put somebody on death row even though their lawyer has been disbarred and was so incompetent that he didn't make any objections because he knew he was going to be overruled anyway. You can't be still in that kind of society. Martin Luther King wasn't.
Yeah. And this, again, using the Dr. Martin Luther King legacy, if we are truly living his legacy and living out the true meaning of his legacy, then these injustices, you know, you have to check them. I mean, he said an injustice anywhere is an injustice everywhere. And so this is something that people can really, I think, make a difference. And ultimately, we have to put pressure on the state legislature or the governor to implement a moratorium on the death penalty. We need to slow this machine down and see how is the death penalty being implemented here in the state of Missouri. And I think what we'll find is that is being done in a very arbitrary and racist manner, and we need to abolish it altogether.
And Reginald Clemens' case will illustrate that tenfold. And one of the ways that Jamala, we need to do this, or this is can be done successfully, is with a campaign like that you are spearheading, but also with the organizational component to this. It is necessary for organizations to move on this issue, and in particular organizations that are about the issues, the conditions, and the concerns of people of African descent.
Absolutely.
And the NAACP, we don't have that opportunity here in the city of St. Louis to utilize that organization. I have sent a letter to the NAACP here in town. I have called the NAACP here in town and to ask them to, what is their position on this issue, and to come on board and to have an opportunity to come on the air and let this community know that they are involved with this injustice. I have heard no response. I have not gotten a response from my questions or my concerns. So we're moving to a different level. Talk to us about the level where we are right now.
Well, we are, that's disappointing to hear, because I think there's a certain expectation by the community that certain cases will automatically attract the attention and interest and participation of different entities. For example, most places that we go to speak, the first question out of people's mouth is, you know, where are the elected officials on this and where is the church? And then they immediately go to some of the more, you know, renowned civil rights groups. And so, you know, we need to have them on board, and people need to ask them to be on board if they're not. And I think that the NAACP silence on this issue, we really need to find that out. And I need to, since you've done that, I need to follow up myself and see if we can get the NAACP on board, because I know that there's some members who are who this case would resonate with. And so I don't always want to look at the head of the organization, but I think people within the NAACP need to know that this is an important issue for the city of St. Louis and for the state of Missouri.
And what we have to do is we have to move beyond that. While, you know, people stand still, stand silent, and don't involve themselves, we've got to move beyond that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're doing that this morning.
And we have today we're going to be talking with Hillary Shelton, and you know, people don't know Hillary Shelton is a native St. Louisan, but he went on to Washington D.C. and he is now in the Washington Bureau of the NAACP, and he's been back and forth to the city around different issues. He was on a panel around racial profiling. So you know, nationally the NAACP is trying to address a lot of these issues, and even in some of the other municipalities where there's active NAACPs, they are involved in the issue. When I went to the Katrina conference in New Orleans, you know, a number of the Gulf Coast NAACPs were involved. So the expectation is they're supposed to be involved in the issues that are affecting, you know, the most oppressed people, and that's where they're supposed to be, and that's what the history of the NAACP is. So I think we have to, like, call people out on what their mission is, and this certainly is an injustice, and I would think that even if people got their plate so full that they find some kind of way to support the campaign for justice for Reggie.
Well, let's get to the director of the Washington Bureau of the NAACP, Hillary Shelton. Hillary Shelton, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great, thanks. It's good to be with you this morning.
It's good to have you with us here. And Hillary, the death penalty is an issue that the NAACP in Washington there has been involved with for some time.
Well, yes, but not just the NAACP in Washington. The NAACP's national public policy position is in opposition to the death penalty because of its historic racist implementation in the country, and because, indeed, we see it as being, in many ways, a waste of resources. We know that our justice system is not perfect, and indeed, too often, the imperfections in our justice system end up being illustrated with African-Americans more often than many others. And certainly, the utilization of the death penalty is something that we strongly oppose.
And in the opposition to the death penalty, what are some of the things that the NAACP has been doing?
Well, we've come out against any executions of anyone, quite frankly, throughout the country, but certainly African-Americans and other people of color. So as we talk about the Reggie Clemens case right there in Missouri, that is an issue that we've also taken a position on. Certainly we're opposed to him being executed. I've served on boards of directors with his parents, his mother, and his father.
Vera is something else, isn't she?
Oh, absolutely, and absolutely incredible. As a matter of fact, it was NAACP people right there in St. Louis that brought it back to our attention. The last time we actually visited with this case was when he'd actually been taken off death row, and now we found out just a few months ago that he'd been placed back on death row, and found out about Jay Nixon's efforts to actually try to execute him. In too many ways, Liz, this is absolutely ridiculous. And what we're seeing is a pattern that too often happens throughout our country. When politicians decide to seek higher office, somehow they believe that sacrificing usually people of color, and in this particular case, an African-American, will somehow view them as being tough on crime. But we know that not to be the case, and it's too bad that Jay Nixon has decided to make this move again. This is not the first time that he's decided to make some political move on the backs of African Americans, and I think he should really be ashamed of himself.
And what is particularly odious about this case, Hillary, is the fact that, and just heartbreaking about this case, is that he's not the first white male elected official that has hopped up onto the back of Reggie Clemens in an effort to ride him into a higher office?
Absolutely. Now, certainly our hearts should reach out to the families of those that have lost so much by these young people that were brutally murdered. We know that they were brutally murdered. We need to find ways of providing some assistance to those families and try to find ways to prevent this kind of thing from ever happening again. But executing people that are already in prison makes no sense whatsoever. The only thing that's guaranteed is that cycle of despair and death will continue as we kill yet another person. And so that it is unnecessary. It should not be done. And quite frankly, we need to find better ways to prevent these things from happening. And quite frankly, better ways to utilize our resources. And we very well know that it costs more money to go through the process of executing someone in our country, and certainly in the state of Missouri, than it does to keep them in prison even for the rest of their lives. We also know that when we look at how the death penalty is utilized across the country, that according to the Death Penalty Information Center, those Americans that were sentenced to death and freed because they were later found to be innocent, African Americans, who only make up 12.4% of the national population, make up 38% of those that were erroneously sentenced to death and later found to be innocent and then freed. The only statistic that is more outrageous than that is that of all those Americans that were sentenced to death and through the utilization of DNA evidence executed but then found to be innocent after they were executed, African Americans, again, that make up only 12.4% of the population, make up 34% of those that are executed along those lines. We know that mistakes are made with our criminal justice system. Certainly, once you execute someone, you cannot somehow repair that awful damage that you've now created. It makes more sense very well to keep people in prison if you think that they're a threat to society, and certainly make them spend the rest of their lives having to contemplate what they did wrong, if indeed they did something wrong. But Jamala Rogers is absolutely right, and that is there are so many misgivings in this procedure, in this case, beginning with his representation, the utilization of technologies like DNA evidence and other things to help make sure that we know that this is the person that committed this crime first. But then secondly, as we find that out, there are many other options for punishing people that commit crimes this awful. And the other thing we find is some people think that somehow or another, when we go through a process of executing someone, that the families of those victims are somehow going to find some solace in this. I've talked to too many families that went through the process of seeing the murderers of their loved ones executed, only to find that it compounded the pain that they had to feel, and that indeed so they were looking for some fix for all that they were feeling in their hearts and sensing in their minds about this awful loss and the pain that they were feeling. They found that it indeed did not ease the pain at all. And they had to find some other way to deal with it, other ways we think could very well be dealt, that could be done without the taking of life.
And we have to take a break. This is Liz Brown. This is our Justice for Reggie Hour. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Our guest this morning is Mr. Hillary Shelton. He is the director of the Washington Bureau of the NAACP. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis Area Toyota Dealers. Westbound 70 at T.R. Hughes and K. There's an accident. Two lanes are blocked. Only the left lane is open. Traffic jams all the way back to 79. Eastbound 270 at Illinois 3. Look for that to be closed due to an accident. Traffic is getting by on the right shoulder. And traffic jams at the chain of rocks bridge this hour. Westbound 270 at Illinois Route 3. Look for an accident there. Left lane is blocked. Traffic jams to 111. Eastbound 44 at Chrysler Plant all the way into Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow traffic this hour. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and Hanley. Look for slow traffic in pockets. Eastbound 70 between Sunbelt and Earth City Expressway. Everything is on the move. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to K. Look for stop-and-go traffic due to the westbound accident. Slow traffic then from T.R. Hughes all the way to Mid Rivers Mall. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant. Expect slow traffic. Northbound Route 3, or northbound 55 from Weber all the way into 44. No problems there. Northbound 270 from Gravoy to 44. It is slow. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. Look for slow traffic there. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge. Slow traffic there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing. Everything's on the move. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, winterize your car at your St. Louis Metro Toyota dealer. Radiator drain and fill, visual inspection, and battery check, all for just $39.95. That's Toyota value. See dealer for details. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy and warmer today, high around 65. This evening, mostly cloudy, a chance for a shower with a low around 45. Friday, breezy and cooler, mostly cloudy with a high around 50. Friday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance for rain, the low around 35. And then on Saturday, partly sunny, colder with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 47 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 49, both under sunny skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
Join the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy, hosted by Zaki Baruti at our new hour at 9 p.m. every Thursday night for insightful information and intelligent discussion of the issues of the day. Tune in to the Power Hour, Let's Get Busy. Remember, knowledge is power.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs, Sears. 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on the Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures cause tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer, another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
Here's an opportunity for you, an evening with Ice-T. We have 4 free tickets this Saturday at 8 p.m. You want to listen to Ice-T? You want to hear him talk about life, death, religion, entertainment, industry? There will be audience participation. If you are interested in getting 4 free tickets to an evening with Ice-T at the Two Hill Theater, be the 10th caller to 454-6660. That's 454-6660. You will pick up your tickets at the will call window. Leave your name and your number. Be the 10th caller at 454-6660 for an evening with Ice-T. 4 free tickets.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Thursday, and that would make it Justice for Reggie Thursday. I'm here with Jamala Rogers. Jamala, welcome back.
Thank you.
Our guest this morning is Mr. Hillary Shelton. He is the director of the Washington Bureau of the NAACP. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about the Reginald Clemens case. Mr. Shelton, welcome back.
Thank you.
Hillary, this is Jamala. Good morning. And Happy
hey,
New
morning,
Year to
Paula.
You. You know what? You were talking about the stat that dealt with the amount of money that it takes to sustain a death penalty case.
Yes.
And one of the things that that evokes from some of the policymakers is the fact that, well, then maybe we need to shorten the appeal time. And there's obviously some efforts on the federal level to do that. Is the NAACP involved in any way in trying to thwart that kind of effort?
And
absolutely.
And before you answer, Hillary, I have to say that we have a winner. You can get off my phones. We have a winner. So, Hillary, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you. No, the short answer is absolutely yes. When we know the kind of mistakes that we're seeing with something as final as an execution, making so many mistakes in this country, shortening the appeals process will only exacerbate the number of mistakes being made by limiting the time being able to be spent actually challenging the sentencing in these cases. Because we know that the average amount of time that people sit on death row before they find out that indeed they are not the ones that committed the crime is almost 15 years.
Exactly.
What that means is that when you have that long period of time before you can actually get to the truth, because so much politic has a way of actually creating obstacles to finding the truth. If you think about it in many ways, Jamal and Liz, and then certainly those listening, these are politicians making these decisions to rush people to judgment. They've got cases in communities where some awful crime has been committed, and we all have to stand behind addressing awful crimes and stand with families that are victims of these awful, heinous crimes that are committed too often in our communities. But in a rush to judgment, too often, the innocent, and usually the innocent are poor, racial and ethnic minorities, become the scapegoat to try to get to some calm in the communities and try to loosen some of the fervor that's aimed at our elected officials. So they move very quickly to find someone that they can pin this on. And again, too often it's African Americans, other people of color, and certainly the poor. So limiting the amount of time for appeals can only exacerbate an already tragic problem in our society.
And Hillary, I was a special public defender for a number of years, and I tried many cases, and I was involved in many death penalty cases, and I have a bit more cynical look at it because oftentimes, my experience has been, is that oftentimes it's not even about a rush to justice. It's not about a rush to judgment. It's about, because if that were the case, every murder case would be pursued with the same energy and vigor and enthusiasm as the Reginald Clemens case was pursued. And it's not, there isn't a concern for the victims out here because the cases are selected not because of the crime that has been committed, but the advantage that it can give a prosecutor or a prosecuting attorney's office in getting their job renewed.
I think there's an awful lot of truth to that. I mean, certainly, if they're being judged on their effectiveness and they think that they can show that they're more effective by being able to have somebody held responsible for the awful crime that's been committed. And certainly as the media focuses in on these crimes, they believe it can be a real advantage for their political careers. If you look at those that serve in very high-ranking positions in our government, many of them served as prosecuting attorneys, right, attorney generals, and the like prior to going to these other areas, including those who serve as president of the United States. It's just too bad that we're at a point now where people aren't using their own minds and thinking their way through these cases and realizing that there are good reasons for us to say that people are innocent until proven guilty by a court, in a court of law, by a jury of their peers. And that indeed, too often, that whole process and concept is thwarted for political expediency. So we have to work at that and make sure we don't allow people to actually unnecessarily be victimized, even by our own government, under these circumstances.
And I'm wondering, Hillary, since the NAACP does have an anti-death penalty policy, what kind of resources do you all, allocate to that effort, and what can, for example, could we expect here for the Reggie Clemens case?
I mean, certainly I've had conversations with our state conference president because it is a statewide issue at this point, and even those working with our local branch, and of course our regional office is right there in St. Louis, Missouri as well. And all of them have been utilizing their resources to contact their elected officials to let them know that something really needs to be done about this, that indeed we need to stop this particular movement forward, that we very well know the kind of sensationalism that's been created around this issue. But yet again, I think those in the NAACP also know that some of the leadership trying to utilize this case for their own political gain are actually those that have created problems for us in the past. We know that Jay Nixon utilized his power and his influence to try to go against even integration in public schools as a tool to get him elected as a U.S. senator. It's just a shame that he didn't learn his lesson then, and yet again, somehow or another, the African-American community, and Reggie Clemens very specifically, is going to be scapegoated in this case.
And Hillary, who is the statewide person?
Our state conference president is Mary Ratliff. She actually lives in Columbia, Missouri.
Okay.
They have passed resolutions statewide opposing the execution of Reggie. And indeed, I know that our members are aware of this issue. If there are things we can do to help move forward to coordinate with your efforts, Jamala, I do know that you are the person on the ground in Missouri,
mm-hmm,
that has been designated to coordinate those efforts. We want to find better ways to assist you in these efforts.
And I look forward to that.
We'll look forward. Thank you.
And Hillary, one of the things, I had a guest on my show a few weeks back, Roland Martin. And Roland was talking about the Tukey case, and he was talking because Roland is a conservative in many, many respects, and he was talking about how that black people, the black community, has been mischaracterized as anti-death penalty, that we are a law and order people, and that there is a sense within the African community that is very much pro-death penalty. I'd like to talk about that with you, but we have to take a break right now. So when we come back, can we have that conversation?
Absolutely. I look forward to it.
This is Liz Brown, The Wake Up Call. This is Justice for Reggie, and I'm here with Jamala Rogers. And the website again, Jamala?
www.justiceforreggie.com.
Very good. We'll be back after this break. Stay with us.
There's a new world coming. This one's coming to an end.
This global news report is brought to you by attorney Albert Walton, helping people get paid for over 25 years. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Tokyo. The United States is expressing disappointment with Japan over its decision to begin development of an oil field in Iran. The deal was made back in 2004, but Japan held off on implementing it because the U.S. opposed help to any energy projects in Iran. The Japanese company involved in the projects will take about 3 years to develop the Azadegan fields and expects production to reach over 250,000 barrels a day by the year 2014. And Dateline Washington. The Bush administration is trying to keep its distance between super lobbyist Jack Abramoff. The White House is saying that Abramoff only had a few staff-level meetings with members of the administration, but it will not say who those people were or why he was meeting with them in the first place. However,
However, there are reports that Abramoff met personally with the president, both at the White House and at his ranch in Texas. Abramoff raised at least $100,000 for the Bush re-election in 2004 and even received the Declaration of Pioneer for getting that amount. So far, the campaign has given $6,000 of that money to the American Heart Association, but it's not given back any of the rest of it. The reason, according to a Bush spokesperson, is that the $6,000 is the only amount that came directly from Abramoff, his wife, or one of the Indian tribes that he lobbied for. This is your wake-up call global news update.
When you've been hurt in an accident, there are many things to consider. Doctor's bills, time lost from work, medical costs, ongoing injuries, pain and suffering. For over 25 years, attorney Albert Walton has helped people get paid for their property, paid for their pain and suffering, paid for their loss. Before you talk to anyone, call 314-388-3400. That's 388-3400 and talk to attorney Albert Walton for free. If you've been hurt, let attorney Albert Walton's knowledge and experience help you get paid. 314-388-3400.
Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on The Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures cause tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8.
You want your preschooler to be ready for school. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is ready to help you prepare your preschooler not only for school, but also for life. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center is an outreach of Trinity Tabernacle Assembly of God in Bridgeton. Your child, age 2 to 4, receives a non-denominational Bible curriculum with Bible stories, songs, arts and crafts, plus lessons in numbers, science, arts, and phonics to help prepare him or her for kindergarten. Your child will also grow personally, socially, educationally, and spiritually every day as a unique individual created by God. Call Christine at 314-291-8839 to learn more about Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center and to register your child. Open Monday through Friday from 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Trinity Tabernacle Child Development Center, 11950 Mark Twain Drive in Bridgeton, 314-291-8839. Serving the community since 1979.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org. Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Today is Justice for Reggie Hour with Jamala Rogers. And our guest this morning is Mr. Hillary Shelton. He is the director of the Washington Bureau of the NAACP, and he is joining us from Washington, D.C. So, Hillary, are we pro-death penalty people?
Oh, not at all. As a matter of fact, quite the opposite. The African-American community is very strongly in support of certainly law and order in our communities. Even W.B. Du Bois talked about years and years ago that one of the issues that the African-American community would always have to contend with is the lack of service and equity in providing security in our neighborhoods, and certainly we see that to be true even today. The African-American community is a community that unfortunately has more unsolved murders than any other community in the United States, which means that those resources are not being utilized to prevent these awful crimes from happening in the first place. The African-American community is also one, not to suggest that we have somehow a cornering on African-American ideas and positions. But quite frankly, African-Americans are very morally conservative and politically progressive. It is unfortunately
what does that mean? What does that mean?
Well, what it means is that we have a strong belief in self-determination, educating our children, leaving something for loved ones when we pass away. We have a strong commitment to family and religious life. The African American community has a strong commitment to education throughout our communities, and quite frankly, are more likely to believe that everyone else should be able to enjoy these same services and resources as well. But we're politically progressive, and I want to put that into perspective as well. We also know that conservatism means you're maintaining the status quo. But when we look at the African American community, we see that we have an unemployment rate that is normally twice as high as the national average. When we have a home ownership rate, and we know, I talk about home ownership because it is one of the most important investments that people make. It oftentimes determines whether human beings in our society will be able to live out the sunset years of their lives in grace and dignity or squalor poverty. It also means in many ways whether or not we'll be able to educate our children through colleges and universities. People oftentimes refinance their homes to be able to pay tuition. Home ownership is very important. We talk about business ownership. African Americans unfortunately end up being at the lower end of the spectrum of those that own their own businesses. So with all that in mind, we know that conservatism, conserving the status quo, is not that helpful to us. Indeed, we want to see advances made. So we're a much more progressive community. We're politically progressive. We'd like to see the changes made to guarantee full first-class citizenship for all Americans, regardless of race, gender, ethnicity, or national origin.
And Hillary,
all of those issues are very important to us.
And Hillary, I think by and large that's true. Now, there are black people that I come across who have, you know, internalized some of this racial oppression and who
sure.
get bought into the eye for eye. So, for example, they may say something like, well, if a loved one of mine gets killed, I want that person killed as well. But then when I go on to explain my brother, my sister, that is very unlikely to happen in the scenario that we have now.
That's
because
right.
if it's black-on-black crime, you're least likely for the death penalty to happen. And not that we want that to happen, but the death penalty in 80% of the cases, even that figure's gone up even, you're talking about white victims and particularly those victims, black victims on death row have killed white folks. So the likelihood of you being able to get the death penalty for somebody who killed your loved ones is about as great as seeing a flying pig. And so once, you know, you kind of snap them back to reality, then they say, oh, yeah, that's right, we got this kind of system. Because you're right, the number of unsolved murders in the black community are in this city in particular, you know, we can think of some high-profile cases that still have not been solved. And so,
but we also have to add into that the likelihood of the criminal justice system pursuing the right person that got your loved one is not all that likely.
That's right. That's right.
I totally agree with all of that. But, you know, the shame of it all is that because we are African-Americans are overwhelmingly call themselves members of the Judeo-Christian faith, which is just fine. Certainly the fastest growing faith in our communities now is Islam, but still the African Americans are overwhelmingly Christian. With that, a lot of our moral values come from that Judeo-Christian ideology. The sad thing is that too many of our leaders in those areas have never read beyond the Old Testament, and somehow or another still believe that the interpretation of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth means that if someone kills someone, they should die. Sadly, they see things in that perspective. But hopefully our religious leaders will read past the Old Testament into the New Testament and very well see that even Jesus spoke on the death penalty. When a woman was going to be stoned, which was the death penalty of that day for adultery, he said he put his body between her and the crowd that was going to stone her and said, "Here is without sin, cast the first stone." The bottom line is that the death penalty was proven to be ineffective and indeed unmoral, and even Jesus spoke on that issue. So hopefully at some point our religious leaders will not be as lazy as they've been and read beyond the Old Testament into the New Testament and profess those that many, many do.
And we have 30 seconds here, and I just have to say, wasn't Jesus wrongfully executed?
Exactly. That to me is, he's the poster child, as far as I'm concerned.
They don't get it right. They don't get it right. Mr. Hillary Shelton, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
It was my pleasure.
Take care.
Take care there.
Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown, Justice for Reggie. Our website,
www.justiceforreggie.com.
Thank you so much, Jamala, and we will see you next week.
That's right.
All right. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back for the final hour of this Thursday Wake Up Call show. Stay with us.
You pull it all the way out. That's not progress. The progress is healing the wound.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Alden. Chaos on a busy Tel Aviv street today after a suicide bomber detonated the explosives he was wearing, killing himself and wounding many others.
It is a bloody scene. Shards of glass mingle with what used to be people's lunch. Police trying to secure the area to make sure that no gawkers are here, because there is also a suspicion that the suicide bomber's belt did not work properly, and that there are still explosives on his body. Nobody here wants a bystander to trip up that bomb.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Tel Aviv. The group Islamic Jihad is claiming responsibility. The White House has condemned the bombing. At least 23 Iraqis are dead after simultaneous suicide bombings today in central Baghdad. The two blasts occurred on the very same street. The mother of American journalist Jill Carroll has a message for her militants who kidnapped her in Iraq. Please release her.
Jill has always shown the highest respect for the Iraqi people and their customs. We hope that her captors will show Jill the same respect in return. Taking vengeance on my innocent daughter who loves Iraq and its people will not create justice.
Mary Beth Carroll today on CNN, but by tomorrow it could be too late. Carroll's captors are threatening to kill her by that time unless all female prisoners that the U.S. is now holding in Iraq are released. The Iraqi government is asking the U.S. to let six of the prisoners go. The U.S. has dealt a major blow to Al-Qaeda. ABC News has learned that at least four high-ranking members of the terror network were taken out in last week's airstrike over Pakistan. That includes an Egyptian scientist known as Abu Khabab, who trained hundreds of terrorists in the use of poisons and chemical explosions.
He wants to cause mayhem, massive death, and he's a true believer, and puts his expertise on the line. And so the fact that we took him out is significant.
That's ABC News consultant Jack Clunan. The Dow is down 16 points, according to ABC News MoneyScope. The NASDAQ is off 13. This is ABC News.
This year, the government's going to give out over $350 billion to people like you who want to start a business, go back to school, or train for a new job. I'm Matthew Lesko, and I've written over 70 books on government programs. You've probably seen me all over the television shows, on talk shows. My new program showed you 15,000 government sources, where you can get like $100,000 to open up a coffee shop, $15,000 to write a book, or $30,000 to become a French chef, $9,000 to take a computer course, or $15,000 to finish college, get a GED, or a PhD. There's money to travel overseas, train your employees, or work on your invention. I've done all the work. You just have to make the call. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO, and you'll get my book and six-hour audio tape program for only two payments of $29.95 plus $7.50 postage and handling. There's a 90-day money-back guarantee. Call toll-free 877-ASK-LESKO or 1-877-275-5375.
Former FEMA Director Michael Brown is now saying that he may be at least in part to blame for the slow federal response to Hurricane Katrina.
I know what you're all thinking right now. Inept, incompetent, out of touch, scapegoat.
That's Brown at a speech last night. He says he could have demanded the military be sent to New Orleans much more quickly. There are some promising signs of recovery for the only survivor in the West Virginia coal mine explosion. Randall McCloy is now breathing on his own. He's opened his eyes a few times, and he's moved his arms and legs. Dr. Julian Bale says McCloy's family has been a big part of this.
They have been very supportive in every aspect of his care and handling this unprecedented exposure and attention that they've had to deal with. So they've just been terrific.
Another encouraging sign, Bale says McCloy also appears to be responding to hearing his name being said. I'm Daria Olbinger, ABC News.
Here's a report of WGNU News. This report is brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. I'm Peyton Colston. In the news today, the Missouri Department of Transportation is reacting to news that State Senator Joan Bray has filed a bill that would prohibit MoDOT from closing Highway 40 during the 12-mile reconstruction project. Linda Wilson, a spokesperson for MoDOT, says no decision has been made about whether the highway needs to be closed, but all possible options need to be kept open.
If we start taking options off the table and we start limiting the creativity of the private sector to come up with the best possible plan, you're not going to get the best possible traffic plan or the best possible project for the taxpayers.
State Senator Joan Bray disagrees with MoDOT's assessment, though.
Well, that's just wrong. This, you know, the MoDOT can say to the bidders for this job, one parameter is you cannot close down the highway.
Bray says closing down the highway for such a long period of time would jeopardize economic activity in a core region of St. Louis. The housing market won't be as successful this year as it was last year. That prediction, according to Frank Notheft, the chief economist for Freddie Mac. He says a 6-8% decline in sales and new construction is expected for 2006. The average home in St. Louis appreciated 7.2% over the year ending in the third quarter of 2005. Home sales and home value appreciations are expected to moderate in the St. Louis area this year. And at Georgetown University, a law professor and former advisor to President Clinton is reacting to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision on the Oregon assisted suicide case. Professor Cheryl Kasten, a clerk for the late Supreme Court Justice Thurgood Marshall, says the decision is consistent with the Supreme Court's direction, which has been to be highly deferential to states' rights.
If you believe in federalism, as many of the conservatives on the court say, then when a state does something that may be a progressive course, but if it's a popularly elected government, then unless it's interfering with some federal law, there's no reason why states shouldn't defer to that.
Kasten was the featured speaker at a Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. commemorative event at Washington University yesterday. That's WGNU News, brought to you by the Illinois Lottery. New, the Illinois Lottery's Ticket for the Cure. 100% of proceeds support the fight against breast cancer. Play Ticket for the Cure today, because when you play, everybody wins. Reporting WGNU News, I'm Peyton Colston.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by TomTom.com. Westbound 70 between T.R. Hughes and K. Look for that accident to be cleared. Eastbound 270 at Illinois 3. That is still closed due to an accident, but traffic is getting by on right shoulder. Traffic jams across the Chain of Rocks Bridge. Westbound 270 at Illinois Route 3. There's left lane blocked due to an eastbound accident and traffic jams approaching 111. Northbound 67 at Fifi. There's a report of an overturned vehicle. Two right lanes are blocked. Eastbound 44 from 109 to Merrimack River Bridge looks good. Eastbound 70 from 79 all the way to the Blanchett Bridge. Everything's on the move. Westbound 270 at Riverview. Expect normal traffic. Northbound 55 from River de Pere to Lafayette. No problems there. Northbound 270 at 44 is flowing freely in both directions. 40 at Hanley. You can expect normal traffic this hour. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street onto the PSB. Look for slow traffic, mainly in the left lanes. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing looks good. And Gravelway and Music, there's a report of those traffic lights not working. They're on red flash. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by TomTom.com. TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice will tell you where you can go on your way. To learn more, visit TomTom.com for more details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Saturday. Breezy and warmer, variable cloudiness, high around 65. This evening, mostly cloudy with a shower possible, low around 45. For Friday, breezy and cooler, mostly cloudy, high around 50. For Friday evening, mostly cloudy, a chance for rain with a low around 35. And Saturday, partly sunny and colder with a high around 40. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 48 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 50 under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, tell my sister. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's a blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sister?
Truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. We struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. Check out the website at lizbrown.com. Get up, get up, get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. Pat, welcome to the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz.
Yes, ma'am.
Black people are in a hell of a position in this country. And let me tell you why. If I'm the police and I'm the politician, I'm the Christian now and I'm the criminal now, that makes you feel in kind of nowhere to run type of situation. Now, when I say I'm speaking as me as a black person. If I am in these positions, I'm the Christian and I'm the police and I'm the politician now, puts you in a real bad position, a hemmed in sort of position. So as that occurs and more of it is occurring, then you can see our reaction to these type of to that type of situation.
Okay, I'm not.
Do you agree with that or not?
I'm not following you. I'm not understanding.
I said if I'm the criminal now, and I'm black. I'm saying I'm black now.
But I don't.
I'm the criminal, and I'm the police, and I'm the Christian, and I'm.
Okay. All right. If I can repeat back to you what I think that you're saying, I would not characterize an entire community.
Well, then who's
the I'm you're talking about?
I'm talking about black people.
But that's the entire community, isn't it? So when you say I am,
you make me feel hemmed in when you say it's all of us. You're not.
You're mixing things.
I'm making my statement too broadly.
I think that you are making your statement too broadly because let me try to phrase it this way. If the world looks at you, if a racist world looks at you as a criminal and looks at you as a Christian and looks at you as all of the things that you described, are you saying that you feel hemmed in because the world has a mistaken view?
I don't have anywhere to run.
Am I characterizing what you're saying now correctly?
What did you say? The world looks at me as those things?
I said if the world views black people the world views black people through a racist lens and looks at black people in a racist way and looks at them as an entire race of people as criminal or an entire race of or a few of the people as Christian, then black people feel hemmed in. Is that what you're saying?
That's my comment. Yes, I say that. And the reason why we are these things.
No, we're not.
You don't think we are?
No, I don't think that we are.
According to my view, I think that we are well integrated. I think we are well integrated in these things.
And here's the thing. And let me help you out of that because
I'm not saying all of us conclusive.
All right.
But what I'm saying is that since we're in this country and since we are integrated into this society, and these are the things that we are participating in. We are the Christians now, and we are politicians now, and we are criminals, and we are police officers and things. And at times, when you look at it objectively and what have you, you can say, well, if this happens or if that happens, where shall I run?
Right.
Now, I should automatically run to my people. That's
okay.
Normally.
And I got to roll. Got to roll. Thanks for
all
your
right.
call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Kevin, you're on the wake-up call.
Hi, how you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I was thinking about Marvin Gaye. I think about him every night, you know, because I think that was a tragedy.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was.
Another brother hit the dirt over Jim Crow law, and I think it's because he was with white women. And but in the 20s, I was watching a program from Channel 9 in the 20s when they had that Dead or Alive and they went out to kill you. All the criminals used to kill police officers because they fought to the death. And that's what they did back in the 20s because probably the most police officers killed probably were in the 20s, during the roaring 20s.
If I may interrupt just for a second, Kevin. I think it's always so important. And one of the things that I do on my show, and one of the things that I insist upon my show, is the evidence for your position and the facts that support your position. And I'd like to direct people to some facts that support the observation that you've just made. In downtown St. Louis, the police headquarters is located in downtown St. Louis. Mm-hmm. When you go into the police headquarters, there is a wall where they have the names of the officers, the cops that have died in the line of duty. And they go way back. They go back to the early, I think, the 1800s.
1878.
And when you look at that wall, go to the Roaring Twenties. That is the time. Look, and count the number of cops killed in the line of duty. It was during the Roaring Twenties.
And they didn't really count all those people they used to deputize, too.
That's true.
They didn't count those.
That's true.
So they changed the laws to make it so people would feel they had a fair chance to go to court. Or believe that if I surrender, I'm going to at least have a fair chance. Mm-hmm. That's how the laws were created, because there was a lot of violence going on. What they're doing now, especially with black males, is that they are either incarcerating you for de minimis crimes for many, many years, or they're executing you. So things only change when people resist.
That's a fact.
That's a fact. And that's a historical fact. You know, they can take it the way they want to. The system can call me violent like they always have. But that's a historical fact. Nothing changes with a European if you don't resist. Have a good day.
Nothing changes at all without resistance. You can't get a plant, without agitating, without resistance. A plant can't grow if you don't agitate the ground to get the seed up in it. I mean, things don't change without agitation, without resistance. They don't. Bob.
Hey, Liz, how you feeling?
I'm outstanding.
I love all your shows, but I think until this thing is over with, Reggie Clemens hour is going to be my favorite hour. I mean, it really is, because I was one of the ones. See, I knew Vera real good in the family. So when I heard that he wasn't going to be executed, I went over to the house that morning to see Vera. She wasn't there, but I talked to the brother. He said, are you sure? I said, man, I heard it, and I rejoiced with him, and then this happened. Mm. Anyway, I know you're busy, Liz. I got two quick questions. One is, I was listening to something that Miss Rogers was saying, and it made me think. She said, well, if you hear it on the media that this didn't happen in the trial, you need to call them and tell them. Liz, so number one, you know and I know. They don't care. I mean, they're Caucasians.
Well, here's the thing.
They don't care, Liz.
I'm not calling them because I think they care. Let's be clear on that. I don't call because I think they care. I call because it's the right thing to do. It's the necessary thing to do. It is my responsibility to do that. Change comes with agitation, and change comes with resistance. You can't give up and say, I'm not going to call because I know they don't care. That's giving up.
Okay.
That is absolutely giving up. You're supposed to call. When something wrong happens, that's just like the lawyer in Reggie's case that said, I'm going to stop objecting because he's going to overrule me.
Exactly.
We can't afford to do that. That's wrong.
Right, Liz. Well, I know you're busy, but I got one more quick question now. Since you're the only warrior that I've heard that's fighting for this for justice.
Wait a minute. Jamala Rogers is the person that's
with power. She doesn't have a radio show.
Well, okay, I'm the person with the radio show.
That's what I meant.
All right.
Okay, now, since you're the one with the radio show, can get to a wide world, you're a winning, award-winning show, do you think possible, I'm praying that when this thing comes out, that they'll dissolve it, and if you have to get life in prison, okay, not the death penalty, but if it does come to the death penalty and Jay Nixon does give him a date, when it gets closer to that day, can you stay in your show on that for about another hour? If it gets, you see what I'm saying? See, because you're the only one doing something, and maybe more people could hear. You know, 1 hour is good, but if we do, does that make any sense?
I'm not even going to talk about that right now. We're going to work on it the way that it is
Thank you, Ms. Liz, and
I'm not going to talk about it.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Bye bye.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me, Mary.
Hello. Yes. Hi, Liz.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hey, I want to say you are wonderful. I enjoy hearing you most of the mornings when I get a chance, and hats off to you.
Do you have access?
The reason I'm calling, I'm listening to other speakers, and what I'm not hearing is solutions. Like the guy was just mentioning a moment ago about how you have a radio show and all the other people are not really powerful to really do anything about it. But my thing to you is, my question to you is, do you get targeted for speaking out? Because I think a lot of people don't speak out because they know once they start speaking out against the agitation, like you said, they're going to get targeted. And how do we address that as far as the solution also?
Well, okay, wait a minute. Let's stop right there. Let's stop right there. Martin Luther King was murdered, right?
He was what?
Martin Luther King was murdered, right?
Right.
And he did what he had to do, right?
Right.
I don't think that there is a choice for people. You have to do what is right on behalf of your community, on behalf of the world, and you have to do that regardless of what you think that people are going to do to you as a result of that.
Well, I understand that, but you also, W.E.B. Du Bois also mentioned about the prophesied about the talented tenth, and the tenth shall lead them. I mean, I don't hear us talking about the tenth or the committees.
Well,
or how we protect our leaders that do fight for us. Until we start protecting our leaders, I don't think anything's going to happen fast.
Well, again, there are some things that are going to happen no matter what. Martin Luther King was surrounded by protection, and it still happened. The fact of the matter is that, and there are people that don't believe in the talented tenth. I, for one, do not believe in the talented tenth.
Okay.
I don't believe that that's where you turn to.
But I'm saying
it's
one of the options.
But again, I don't believe in that. And there are a lot of people that don't believe that that is a solution.
So what is the solution?
There are all kinds of solutions. Pick an issue. Tell me what an issue is.
Okay, I think, like, we keep complaining about the white man and why he ain't doing what he's doing. He ain't been doing it for 400 years.
Wait a minute. To reduce the assessments and the actions and the understanding of racism into we talking about the white man is a mischaracterization of what is being said and what is being done. The racism is a real thing. I hope that I'm educating you right now on what racism is. And if you don't understand what racism is, you cannot fight the problem. And if you have reduced racism into talking about the white man, then you don't understand what racism is.
Right.
So that's part of the there are all kinds of things that have to be done that contribute to a future for a community, that contribute to a future for poor people. One aspect is educating the masses to the issues.
To what organization?
Pick an organization. If there's not an organization out there, start one. You can't sit back and say there ain't nothing out here, nothing's happening, and you're not trying to do anything.
I'm very active. We need, like, you make a fist, you get stronger. One person can't do it. You need more than one person to start a revolution. So what I'm saying is, where can we start to say, well, hey, touch bases with this organization. You want to know what's happening, what's going on. You want to get something going. It got to be a centralized place, or we can go in and touch base with each other.
And again, the issues that confront the community of African descent are not centralized issues. They're issues on and everybody. There are, as my friend Irene J. Smith says, you get in where you fit in. Pick an issue. Involve yourself in that issue. Organize on your issue and understand that your contribution of participation like that contributes to the future of a person. There is not a one thing that is going to change everything.
Right.
And so the fact of the matter is, pick an issue.
Right.
Pick something. Get involved in it. Stay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And understand that your contribution matters.
Okay, well, hey, you're wonderful. Anyway, I really love your show. I love you too, Liz.
All right now, Mary. Take care now.
You too, honey. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Jeannie, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I am enjoying the show.
Thank you.
Two things I wanted to share. One is to remind people that the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the oil.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into a restaurant, and a guy said, how are you doing? I said, oh, I won't complain. He said, I will. Had it not been for Martin Luther King complaining, then we wouldn't be as far as we are with the racial issue. It would not have been brought to attention. We need to make some noise, and we need to do a lot of complaining.
And
if it's not right, then we need to be standing up saying something.
And doing something about it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now. Listen, folks, I want to take a minute here. Howard, I want to take a minute if we can. I have an opportunity because that's how I roll here. I have 4 tickets. You will be able to go to the Will Call window at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center Saturday night. Get there, I think, an hour early and pick up your tickets for an evening with Ice-T. I will give these tickets to the 10th caller at 454-6660, 454-6660. If you want 4 free tickets to an evening with Ice-T this Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Blanche Two Hill Performing Arts Center, you will go to Will Call. You will give them your name, and they will give you your free passes. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Mary, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Liz, I was collecting signatures for Reggie Cliven. You know, the ones that stopped them from killing him. And I filled up the 2 pages real fast. I only had 2 pages. And my point was, I was surprised that the young people that I approached, some that didn't know about the issue, even when I mentioned the Chain of Rocks incident, I was just thinking that maybe it would be possible. You think this would be a good idea, Liz, to put a great big sign on those big boards like they had when they was talking about the movie Booty Call and all that kind of stuff? Put a big sign in the areas where these things could be seen about the problems.
Okay,
like,
you know. Hold on for 1 second, Mary. We have a winner. We have a winner. Get off my phones. We have a winner. We have a winner. My number here is 454-0400. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free. Long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. Mary, welcome back.
Okay, you know the signs that they put, I've seen them about the beer and stuff in other neighborhoods. You know what I'm speaking of, Liz?
Yeah, but people pay for those signs to be up, so... Can they be put up? Sure, if somebody pays for them to put up.
Well, I mean, we could all collect and
put signs
up for important stuff instead of stuff like that doesn't mean anything to our communities and our neighborhoods.
But understand that the people that are putting the signs up in the neighborhood are not from the neighborhood. So first. Secondly, sure, people can get together and put some billboards up. Absolutely.
And we could express our problems more than just the negative stuff all the time.
Yes, ma'am.
I found a lot of people, they signed it, they were happy to sign it, and I filled my cheeks up there so fast, I wish I had more.
All right.
But I can get more from Jamal, I know that.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I'm just so sad. I cried so much at Marlon's graves when they had his weight over there at the church. I cried, so now I'm like the man. I think of Reggie Clemens all the time. As I go to bed at night, I pray, and then when I wake up, I think about him sometime. But I'm just hoping that more people that's calling your show and listen will just do something rather than just call your show.
All right.
You have a good day.
454-0400 is my phone number. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get up. You need to get to...
States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black owned and black operated, Jerome Williams.
Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Prior to the program, attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Merriweather's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger with a personal invitation for you to join me from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday afternoon on WGNU. It is so great to be back in the St. Louis area, and I'm looking forward to talking with you here at Radio Free St. Louis about your personal, work, and family problems and issues. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA, that's 1-800-DR-LAURA, and let's take on the day. Join me, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, 2 to 4, Monday through Friday afternoons on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof. And that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on The Wake Up Call. Shoddy screening procedures caused tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8. This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. They say massive got to rise up. You got to rise up, oh. Rise up, oh. Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up, oh. Rise up, oh.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to The Wake Up Call. I'm Liz Brown. Get to me. Scott, good morning.
Yeah, they, apparently they're saying that they may release six of the female prisoners in Iraq. They say it has nothing to do with with the demands of the...
No, we don't do that. We don't exchange hostages to terrorists. We don't
right.
do that. We just have... We wanted to do this anyway.
We don't negotiate with terrorists.
That's right,
we don't
that's
pay
right.
them.
That's right.
And I think it's a good thing that they're going to... You know,
I think
they
it's
may.
A fabulous thing. I think it's a fabulous thing.
It's a good thing. I just want to point out that, you know, that, you know, it's kind of a flip-flop. Lying, you know, because he, you know, Bush is flip-flopping and lying again for about the 10,000th time. And Also, there this thing on Channel 9 it, about the security contractors, it also there was a tape of security contractors or mercenaries gunning down other cars on the street that, that weren't really doing anything, and which apparently happens a lot in Iraq because the soldiers and the contractors, you know, they're so scared of suicide bombers that if a car gets just an inch too close to them, they just gun them down. You know, they don't take any chances. They're very, very, very trigger happy and afraid and frightened. And I don't blame them. I would be too. But, you know, the Iraqis look at that and, you know, and that's, you know, you shoot their relatives who are innocent and, you know, then they become suicide bombers, and that's one of the problems with...
Well, we should understand that in a country that, that so many people proudly claim that they are eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Well, then, you think other people don't live like that?
Right. Yeah, well, that's what we believe in, and that's, so that's what they believe in, and
all right.
That's just one of the things with occupation, you know, is that you get these situations that that basically fuel... the terrorism and
thanks for your call, Scott.
Sure.
All right, 454-0400 is my phone number. Youssef, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Liz. I'm looking so forward to your Mondays at 9 because if people think, you know, this thing with Iraq is something, I mean, this Iran thing ain't going to be no walk in the park.
No,
I'm telling
not.
You.
No, it's not.
I mean, we talking about caskets coming back here, you know, daily, I mean, in multitudes, because I think the national pride of the Iranian people are at such a fever pitch that it's going to be like, oh, boy, like walking into a meat grinder, you know?
It's going to be awful.
It's awful. And I'm looking so forward to hearing this guy talk, Liz.
Talk
you know,
about Scott
what's his
Ritter.
Name again?
Scott Ritter.
Scott Ritter.
Ritter, R-I-T-T-E-R.
Ritter, okay, almost
yes.
Like in the movie there.
All right.
But, yes, I'm looking forward to it, Liz. Thank you.
All right, thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
How are you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I was listening to the woman talking about fear of being a target. I'm 74, and I've been a target since 1956, but I don't have no fear of it. And I don't feel that if you are, I feel that if you are fearful, you're a target anyway, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a target if you're fearful.
Yeah.
And I want to say this, Liz. The other day it was a young woman that came home and was talking about the NAACP and the speech the man made. You remember it? Are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yeah, when she said that in 1961, Martin Luther King was accused by the James Farmer of CORE and the NAACP of getting people arrested down south, and they will bail him out, and he wasn't paying them back. They said that publicly. They never have really done nothing like King did. They were backing him, and they got scared when the people got locked up because they didn't have no money. So they really haven't really stood the front for nothing. Have a good day, Leah.
Take care of yourself, Malik. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Otis, good morning.
Yes, I would like to give some useful information about a Medicare discovery that I had yesterday. I found out, I saw people standing in the pharmacy at the Barnes complex actually being sent to certain death by not receiving life-supporting medicines. I watched them because the medicines were too high. I was sitting there, and I would have been on that same list because I found out that the pharmacies, some of them are playing a triage kind of a game with people's medicine because they are so expensive. It seems like they have a mandate to not serve some people because they have very expensive medicine. For example, one of my medicine costs $600 a month. But and the lady who was putting in the computer, she said, "Oh, this medicine costs $600 a month." Well, I had an advocate yesterday who helped me get through the system, and they've been passing out a number to senior citizens that have been wrong to get your Medicare fix. And I have a number that works. As a matter of fact, I have an agent at the Medicare system who gave his number to me as a correct number to call to get your prescription medicine, Medicaid prescription fixed. And if you would allow me, I would give you that number.
Certainly, Otis.
One of the numbers is directly to an agent at the Medicare office that can fix you right there on his computer is 1-866-835-7595. And the number that has been put on a lot of posters that people have been calling is a wrong number. It won't get you into, it will just get you a bunch of hang-ups and a bunch of computers talking to you. But here's the number that won't. 1-877-842-3210. That's 1-877-842-3210. And I can tell you that I got my medicines and got my Medicare fixed right. It took them 2.5 hours to locate these two numbers. But I can tell you that they're talking about medically supported death in some place.
That's what we're talking about.
They got it right here.
Yeah, the Supreme Court is working on just dealt with a physician's assisted suicide, and the Republican Party is against that. Well, they're doing it right now.
They're doing it right now. They're killing people all over this country. I saw at least 9 people who walked away crying because.
And where was this?
That was at the Bonds complex. They have a pharmacy on the Bonds complex.
I don't know where
Kings
that is.
Highway.
Where is that?
Kings Highway and Highway 40. We're talking, and up where you get the pharmacy is the Advanced Medicine building. That's where cancer patients usually go, but that's also where the Bonds pharmacy is located.
Okay, you're talking about Barnes.
Jewish Hospital.
Okay, Barnes Hospital. Okay.
And that's where many hundreds of people were going to, but now because of the new Medicaid requirements, they're asked to hunt little small pharmacies everywhere to get pieces of their medicine. Well, people have been getting all of theirs at Barnes, and I get all mine there.
So now you're telling me, Otis, because I've done a show on this, but I hadn't even thought about this. So are people now having to go to separate different places to get their medicines because they can't get them all at one place anymore?
Yes, indeed. And they have a price. You know, some pharmacies won't serve certain medicines. So there are people who are picking them up in different places. They're going to Bayless. They're going to all kind of places, and they don't have transportation.
Oh.
It's a very sad thing. But I'm sure that some of them are listening here, particularly elderly people, to get the kind of service that I got. I said that was a lady who decided to put her laptop computer. She's right across the hallway in Barnes in Medicaid Part D. That's what they call it, but she works on all of it. And this lady sat with me for 2.5 hours trying to find the truth about how I could get medicine that would save my life.
Jesus.
As a matter of fact, when she gave it to me and told me to take it to the pharmacy, when they found out she had fixed me, they actually were angry. They were angry. I had my medicines yesterday.
Why would they be angry, Otis?
There seems to be, and I've been suspecting this, that there is it's like utilities. If you try to get your lights cut on today, if your bill is $1,000, all the agencies have marked that as the triage level. If you are there, you will probably not get any help because all the agencies is almost like a quiet code. If you reach the over $1,000 level, you are priced out of utilities.
Wow.
Now, it's the same with medicine. Now, my medicines and all, if I had to pay the list price for them, would cost me each month a couple of thousands of dollars. But because of the secret little passages that I went through, my $400 medicine cost $3 yesterday. But the pharmacy did not want, they were almost at, the head of that pharmacy at Barnes Hospital actually screamed, said that bottle of medicine cost $400. Even though she wasn't paying for it, even though that I had the right to have it. Under my Medicare plan, They were screening them and frowning.
And I got to go, Otis.
Okay, but I just
thank
I want
so
you to
much.
Know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. Stay with me. Stay with me.
Get through the day, if you could. It was more than a tragedy, emotions be grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky, we try to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God, who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS, till it happens to you. Just be a man, make plans, live and keep your words. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or dies, breathes or stops? All his judgments on other lives, he needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees, still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause rap you can and say I'm greedy. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done. Babies catching murder cases, scared to laugh in the sun. The tragedy is that we all need love and doses. In times like these, we feel closest. The good die young. Times like these, we feel close. The good die young. Rest in peace, God bless the dead. And we carry on. The good die.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Jerusalem. The Transportation Ministry of Israel has given its okay to install missile warning systems on a number of passenger jets. Nearly 4 years ago, an Israeli passenger jet was fired upon by a surface-to-air missile as it flew over Kenya. The new system will have missile alerts and countermeasures and is to be put on planes that are going to fly over countries where Al-Qaeda is believed to be active. Israel is also developing a laser system that is to guard against shoulder-fired missiles. And Dateline Kiev. It looks like the feud between Russia and Ukraine may not be smoothed over just yet. Ukraine officials now want to raise the rent it's charging Russia's Black Sea Fleet to use its port at Sevastopol by 400%. There's a 20-year lease agreement in place that was signed 9 years ago that came about after very difficult negotiations. That agreement lets Russia use the port until the year 2017 for a price of about $93 million a year. But now Ukraine wants to hike the rent to $400 million a year. According to the Ukrainian Security Council Chief Anatoly Kinyanin, that agreement does not cover navigational facilities. But the Russian Foreign Minister says that's a lie. Relations between the two nations have not been good since President Viktor Yushchenko came to power 2 years ago. This latest flap appears to be a carryover from the gas price controversy of last month that resulted in Ukraine agreeing to buy its natural gas from Russia and Central Asia for about double the original price it was paying. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Another powerful interview is set for Friday morning here on the wake-up call. Shoddy screening procedures cause tens of thousands of hemophiliacs to become infected with AIDS and hepatitis during the 1980s. Today, half of those people are now dead. Journalist Stacy Milbauer wrote a book about the ordeal some of the survivors went through and also found some shocking reasons, mostly monetary greed, as to why it happened. Dying in Vain, that's V-E-I-N, with author Stacy Milbauer. Another revealing story you'll hear only on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown, Friday morning at 8. What is race? What is racism? How has racism been manifested, and what are its effects? The Missouri Historical Society addresses these fundamental issues during the 2005-2006 African American History Series. This Saturday, January 21st, Dr. Michael Benjamin will explore how early librarian Daniel Murray sought to preserve African American culture. Reservations are required. Call 314-361-9017. Program attendees may purchase breakfast at the Missouri History Museum's award-winning restaurant, Meriwether's. Breakfast is $6 for the general public, $5 for Missouri Historical Society members. The presentation is free to all. Breakfast served at 9 a.m. The presentation begins at 10 a.m. For more information, visit www.mohistory.org.
Use your exercise bike for more than just a clothes rack. Find out how by attending the Sinclair Life Fitness Fair, 10 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Friday and Saturday, January 20th and 21st, and from noon to 6, Sunday, January 22nd, at Sinclair Square in Fairview Heights. More than just another health fair, it's a showcase for retailers, service groups, healthcare professionals, and fitness pros, all ready to help you get in shape and improve your life. Night Magic Entertainment brings you music all weekend long. WGNU will be broadcasting from the fair on Friday. See a variety of singers, dances, and aerobic demonstrations. Enjoy a healthy snack. Stop by Center Court to register for one of dozens of great prizes. Come on, you can do it. Get moving to the St. Clair Life Fitness Fair. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, January 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Hosted by St. Clair Square in Fairview Heights. Sponsored in part by Night Magic Entertainment and Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Get more details at spcshows.com. This is a Specialized Promotional Concepts production.
Hi, this is Brett Rosen with Head Thumping Talk Radio on WGNU. Just letting you know that we are moving to a new time from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. every Thursday morning, dedicated to making you mad or making you think since 1999. Watching everything the engineer would
move. Reportedly, the United States is preparing to move militarily against Iran. The latest flap over Iran having nuclear capabilities may be just the excuse the Bush administration has been looking for. Former UN weapons inspector Scott Ritter has been sounding a warning on this very theme for several years now, and it appears he may have been right on the money. Will such military action involve Israel and NATO? Scott Ritter lays out a chilling scenario that could be a harbinger for world war on the next edition of Mondays at 9 with Liz Brown. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of a hill on that ladder of success.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Chester.
Yes, could I get that telephone number where you could check the history of your family?
Oh, you're talking about the show that we did on finding out what's your connections with the continent of Africa? Yeah.
Right, right.
Well, you know, Chester, I don't have that number in front of me.
Well, could you, I mean, could I find some way?
Well, can you, do you have access to the web?
No, I do not.
Okay. Do you know somebody that has access to the web?
Right.
Okay. Why don't you have them go to my website,
mm-hmm.
LizBrown.com,
mm-hmm.
LizzBrown.com,
mm-hmm.
and they can find that information on my website.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome.
You have a very good day.
Take care of yourself.
Right.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yes, Liz. You know that I hope the president is impeached, but I say this, if he isn't, 3 years from tomorrow, when the next president puts his or her hand down, the cuffs should be snapped on both Bush and Cheney for what they have done to our country. Thank you very much.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We have some lawsuits that have been filed to address, to confront the desires and the actions of this administration to be able to do whatever the heck they want to do. Lawsuits that have been filed to stop them from, to challenge them on spying on Americans. These are amazing times. I saw Roy Blunt on television saying that he should be head of the majority party in the House. And the interviewer said, well, your girlfriend is a lobbyist for a tobacco industry. You put in legislation to help that tobacco industry.
you shouldn't be in charge of anything. And how these people can come to us with a straight face. And a straight face and say, I want to be in charge and I have no ethics. There will, I believe, I don't know if George W. Bush is going to be impeached, but I believe there will be a discussion about this. I believe that it's not a bull in a china shop thing that's going on right now. It's something more akin to, I know what it is. I know what it's more akin to. How many of you have seen the movie Helen Keller Story with Patty Duke? The original story where she won an Oscar when she was like 11 or something like that. And there's a scene before Helen Keller met her teacher. Her family allowed her to just wander around the table and snatch food off of people's plates and behave in an immannerable way. That's the type of behavior that we're seeing from this administration. And I believe that there is going to be a response from this country, and the response is going to come in front of an impeachment discussion and an impeachment inquiry. Because if you just let people keep doing that, if you just keep letting people behave like that, they will hurt themselves. They will hurt themselves. And that's what's happening right now. The Democrats aren't stopping them. And I believe he's going to hurt himself. He is going to hurt himself. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Car phone, good morning.
Hey, Sister Liz, Brother Coomley L.
Good morning.
Why couldn't he get impeached? And he should be put to the death penalty, because if people can get 12 and 9 years in jail for lying to a restaurant about the finger incident. Did you hear about that?
Did she get 12 years?
He got one. The man got 12 years and the woman got 9 years.
Get out of here.
I'm like, that is so crazy.
That is, I mean, crazy.
Maybe a couple of years and then a big fine to pay the money back that they lost.
That's crazy. And don't anybody try to make the point that the corporations are in control. That was an accommodation to the corporations out here. They're not going to let anybody mess with the bottom line of a corporation. That's what that sentence reflects.
Exactly.
That's what that sentence reflects. 9 years?
9 years.
For saying there's a piece of finger in some food? 9 years? How much time did Kenny Boy Lane get?
I'm looking forward to your call, because I was one of the winners of the iced tea ticket.
Okay.
So you take care.
All right now. Peace. Mr. Folks, this is Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
You took a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Revolution in the air, feel the brother, help me sister.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Is it the real thing? It's still early to tell, but Al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden may have a new message for the U.S. Here's ABC's Aaron Kuchersky.
The voice on the tape, reported to be that of Osama bin Laden, threatens attacks inside the United States. If the tape is authentic, it would be the first time in more than a year bin Laden has been heard from directly. The voice offers a ceasefire.